8227. This is KPFT Houston, online at kpft.org.
You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Technology Bites Thanksgiving Holiday Geektacular with your host, Jay Lee and Peter Hughes. On tonight's show, avoiding holiday photos with Flicted, cool geek events with Barrett, make it a Soylent Thanksgiving with Lee Hutchinson from Ars Technica, and not appearing on tonight's show, Groove House, Dean Martin, Steve Jobs, MC Frontalot, Neil deGrasse Tyson, and many more. And now, here's the crew who are going to stuff this turkey for the next 2 hours. Take it away, guys.
Wow, I am just stupid. That was fantastic.
Fabulous.
Right. Our in-studio audience needs to simmer down.
All right, got to get... I don't know, is it just my headphones are turned down? That could be it. Yes, that's what it was.
Oh, hey, mine are turned down, too.
I don't have a show to go with that. That just was an awesome intro. I mean, this was discussed.
It's all downhill from here.
It is, really. You can tune out now. And I don't even feel like we have to introduce ourselves because that was done.
It was done. It was done and done well.
That was excellent.
So, you know, ethereal Steve Jobs. Oh! Oh, even he's here. All right.
No. Oh, my God. He's calling from inside Peter's studio. All right. Welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee. Yeah. Hey, Peter.
I'm not sure if he's hearing us.
That may actually be Steve Jobs.
I can hear Peter.
I can hear Peter. Someone's breathing.
Someone's breathing. I am your father, please.
Bill Gates, but that would have been opening Windows.
God, it is the holiday special. It's like the Star Wars Christmas show. All right, well, we're going to work on... We've got Peter Yu's signal coming to us, but apparently he can't hear us.
Maybe you should turn on his radio.
I can barely hear you now.
Oh, there we go.
We can hear you great.
Perfect. What I'm hearing is like the echo from not hearing through a mic. I hear Terry great.
I only hear him because the door's open.
Hey, Pete.
Hey, can you see him?
Yeah.
All right.
He's looking to his left. Look to your right. Smile. There you go.
See, you guys on the radio can't actually see this, but we can see him.
I'm looking through the...
Still don't hear the others. I hear you clearly.
Okay, well, welcome to the show.
Perfect show.
I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's...
Well, it's Lee instead. There's no Groove House today.
Obvious.
Well, that was in the intro. You're Lee and you're not Steve Jobs. You're Lee and you're not Neil deGrasse Tyson.
If I was Steve Jobs, I wouldn't be here.
We wouldn't have
it. We wouldn't.
Well, it's the night before Thanksgiving show, so we...
The Geektacular. So you liked the intro?
I liked the intro quite a lot. That came out really well. I was like, this was being discussed in email, and I thought, yeah, this is it. It's going to almost happen.
I'm fairly sure we can't live up to that intro. That's just my two cents. It's all on y'all, because I'm checking out.
Well, no, I think it's the Barrett show.
Yay.
Dance.
Play my intro.
Dance, Barrett.
Play your intro.
Did I get a custom intro?
We did.
Holiday Geektacular.
You did.
Uh-oh.
Did that make it better?
Yeah.
It's nodding, yeah.
What are we doing different that's causing the weirdness?
We flipped over to trying a Google Hangout instead of through Skype.
Ah.
Can we say those brand names on the air?
Sure we can.
Hi, Pete.
Hey, there he is.
So how do we join that hangout? Can we join the hangout?
I sent an invite to Jay.
Yeah?
Can listeners join the hangout, or is this just a...
You might need to mute it on your computer, though, so it doesn't loop back.
So if I turn my speaker down, that should probably do it. But he'll be able to hear me through the microphone, so how do I...
He'll just have to mute his.
You can file this under stuff we probably should have done before the show started.
No!
No, we worked this out.
It's live on the air.
This is how
shows work. The tough part about doing it before the show is you have to have, like, the internet connection and all that that you can't really get until you're in the studio.
Yeah, you know.
Actually, right now I'm wireless because Group House isn't here, and I didn't have time to set it up because I had to get the intro on my computer to play. So actually, it's over Wi-Fi. That's my computer, I'm sure.
Yeah, at first I thought the ringing was part of the intro, and I was like, and then I thought it was my phone.
It says that Jay Lee joined.
And I can see Flicted now. And I can see Pete.
Woo-hoo!
It says click allow above to turn on your webcam. Okay, allow. Hooray!
Hey! And there's the feedback.
Sir, please turn your radio down.
Just so much technology. I don't understand any of this works.
We'll get it figured out.
Oh, yeah. You better mute.
Perfect.
There it is. There you go. That one. Do that one.
Yes.
Perfect.
Masters of technology.
We are there good we go. At this. This is what we do. It's kind
See?
Of the, it's the thrill of, like, throwing yourself into something and not having any, like, you know, real idea of what you're doing.
We should be charging consultancy then for that. We should be charging a consultant fee. That's
yes.
Yeah, that's what that sounds like to me. These yes. are billable hours right now.
I really like when it flips over to Flicted. I don't get to see him enough. I mean, not
directly.
Far less than I see Pete, but I mean, far more than I see Pete. Uh-oh. What is this about? Did you just, change it to an... Oh, you turned off the video, so now all I get is a photograph that I took of Flicked. And it has
Does it have his hands over his
eyes? We are D-E-V-O.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's the Devo. Yeah, that's his Google.
And the avatar. For those of you who don't know, there's a thing called Google Hangouts, right? So you go in and you can turn on your video camera and you can have multiple people in your Hangout and, you know, discuss important things like doing a radio show live in Houston, Texas or whatever. But when it switches, like if you turn off your video, then it just puts up your Google avatar. And in this case, Flicted has got a hoodie on covering his eyes and a Devo t-shirt. But the
black hoodie, Devo in white. It's pretty stark.
Right. But on top of that, the I was going to say maybe sound activated. The icon pulses.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that sound activated?
It sounds, you know, when he's... So if you've got multiple things, you know who's talking. You know which...
Yeah, and it also, if you're seeing the video, what happens is... Usually whoever's speaking, their picture goes to be sort of the main one in the thing, which hopefully is happening since I spoke.
Yeah, you popped right up.
Oh, yeah, safety tip. We've been on like a lot of Google Hangout calls at work lately, and what a lot of people don't know is if they move, even if they're not speaking, a lot of times the camera will shoot over to them. There's probably some algorithm, maybe an anticipation of them wanting to speak or something like that. So we've had a few people that don't know that, and they're just shuffling papers. They're getting up. They're getting down. They're just doing everything they can possibly do, and the camera's consistently on them, you know, like 18 people. No, that's an exaggeration. A lot of people on the call. So be still.
It looks like you can actually click
Google
on the person
you
want to see down in the lower right-hand corner. So
yeah, you can zoom in on people, but that's just like the main view kind of tries to tag around and follow the conversation through some kind of algorithm. Or maybe there's an NSA guy saying, okay, he's going to talk next. He's talking next.
Well, I'm gonna flip over from wireless to wired, so it's possible Peter may drop for a second, maybe.
You're going to disconnect.
You screwed everything up. We just got it working.
We were having the perfect show up until
this
point.
It's going to just collapse.
Oh, you know, it's not. Doesn't have far to go. This is like a.
I think we're back.
Whoa, nice.
No, Peter's just frozen.
He's yeah, the plus side is
a grin on his face. Just leave him there.
He's max headroom.
No, but it's working for me.
Yeah, but now I don't see Peter anymore. I got, like, it's just black.
That's not my problem.
It kind of is.
No, because it's working for me.
You're in the booth. It's your problem.
You set this up.
Well, the video's not being broadcast over the air.
See. There's a demarcation that you've just instantly created for this situation.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm not tech support for your video.
Well,
Can you send somebody who is?
Barrett?
Can we get an AV member down to the studio, please?
Well, the cool thing about Google Hangouts is it's like a video conferencing service offered by Google. So if you have a Google account, you know, Gmail account or whatever they like to call it, a Google account, you get access to this. And how many people can join a Google Hangout?
Oh, I have no idea.
There was up to 10 was the Hangout-y time. The last time I looked, and that was a while ago. I know the corporate stuff you can put in more.
Okay. Can you still hear us, Pete? Aha, now it is your problem.
Yeah, he was lagging, and then he went. Do we still hang out in IRC, right?
Oh, yeah. Let's give out the information about the show while Vicka does the part that
That's a grand idea.
Is responsible for. You can join us via IRC. We hang out in the channel called Tech Bytes on the IRC server, irc.cuckoo.com. And if you want, it sounds like we might have got him back. If you want to join up with your own client, just connect to irc.cuckoo.com. And join the channel Tech Bytes. If you're not familiar with IRC or you just don't want to mess around with having a installing a client or any of that, you can go to our webpage at geekradio.com and you can join the channel that way. It is also it's more reliable than Google Hangouts, I think. At least somewhat for
IRC?
Us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you guys on the internet right now?
My internet just completely
vanished.
Yep,
mine too. Mine just died.
Like, I can't hit IRC.
Yeah, I think mine's doing that as well. And I'm wired, so.
Flicked was the last one to touch anything in that room. Like, he plugged in a wire and then suddenly all the ethernet's died.
You switched you took a working situation and rewired it.
Jay was the first one to notice the problem. So
true,
I think
that
it's,
is the, yeah.
The person who calls it in broke
it's like he pinged it, winged it.
The tech version of smelt it, melt it.
Yes.
So we've gone there now, have we? All right, so anyway, you can visit us online at geekradio.com. We can't visit us online at geekradio.com right now, but you can go there.
I heard the site's lovely.
And, thank you. And if you want to participate in the show, we're not sure how that's going to work out without Groovehouse here to screen the calls, but you know, Flicked is doing such a bang up job with everything else. I'm sure that he can handle our call in needs. So that's pretty much the vitals on that. We've got obviously Thanksgiving tomorrow. So is anybody going to do anything interesting or high tech for Thanksgiving?
Is eating high tech?
This is pretty high tech. Are you going to have?
We could talk about eating Soylent.
Okay, so
the green elephant in the room here in the studio.
Green elephant. It's like a beige elephant.
Well, the green top.
It's a green top.
Green top. And it's like almost. It's not quite that 70s kitchen green, but it's pushing it.
This is the picture you get when you buy Soylent. They send you one of these. What is this?
So back it up a little bit. What are we? We're looking at like a huge vase of.
What is Soylent?
Okay, so all right.
You don't have your internet notes.
So yeah, I have no internet. I gotta wing this.
Pure
so
memory.
Like, no. Okay. So there's a fellow named Rob Reinhardt, who is a former telecommunications engineer, lives in California, and a couple of years ago, he, in typical engineering fashion, decided it would be really cool if I could optimize the food I put into my body. And because sometimes you just don't want to take the time to cook. You're in the middle of stuff. And wouldn't it be cool if I could just make like a totally engineered food product that has all of the vitamins, et cetera, that people need to survive?
Like the gloop from the Matrix.
Sort of like the gloop from the Matrix, yeah. Or like Soylent Green, sort of, from the...
Their namesake, I'm assuming?
Yeah, well, sort of. So the product that he ended up coming up with, he called Soylent. Partially because it's kind of a provocative name, because you immediately think of Charlton Heston yelling, Soylent Green is people! But really, Reinhardt, the inventor, said that he used the name more to tie in with the Harry Harrison novel, Make Room, Make Room, that the movie was based on, where, in fact, Soylent wasn't actually made out of people, or Soylent Green wasn't in the book.
Spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler from 1960-something or other. So anyway, so he came up with this product, Soylent,
is what it's called. Is there soy in it?
There's no soy in it.
No soy.
No,
actually, there might be trace soy in it, actually. I'd have to go look at the ingredient list, but soy is not a major component, no. Looking at it, I've got a picture of it here in the studio. It ends up being, you buy it comes in powder form with a little bit of oil. in a separate vial to give you the fats that you need. But one sort of powdered bag of it mixes up into about 2 liters of beige liquid-like food substance.
Which is about 1.9 liters.
The large carafe, yeah.
Yeah, it's a large carafe. It's got about 2,200 calories in this one thing. And
locked
if you,
and loaded.
Yeah, it's locked and loaded. You mix it up, you put it in the fridge overnight, and then you can just pour it and drink it all day long. Or you don't have to just drink Soylent. You could drink that for breakfast and do something else. And it's designed to be not like a food replacement, not like... You know, the if you go and Google this product, you'll probably find a couple of the articles I've written on it, and you'll find a bunch of people, New York Times, the Huffington Post, a bunch of other websites have also been talking about this stuff. And the reactions from the tech press and from pundits have been mixed, because on one hand, you know, this is really cool. It's a food replacement product. You can use this for meals, whatever. But on the other hand, a lot of people, especially foodies, are decrying this as like, this is not only an indecent, horrible product, this is a product that signals the downfall of civilization.
The dearth of food.
Because, you know, cooking is what separates humans from animals, and you know, something like this doesn't just give you a convenient, you know, meal, it divorces you from the cultural heritage of, you know, whatever. And they have a lot of very complicated and very, very good arguments against using stuff like this. I don't know. I mean, I think all things
a lot of people go get fast food. A lot of people, I mean, that foodie thing is a very small slice, I would think.
That's one of the response arguments, right? People are like, well, you don't know. You can't construct nutrition in a lab. You have no idea how these ingredients interact with each other. Food is a holistic thing. But at the same time, you've got to believe that drinking this, which is an engineered product, would be better for you than grabbing a hamburger and some fries or whatever from Burger King or from, you know, from your food joint of
any
choice.
Place you can get a meal for under $5.
Right.
Really kind of, I mean, looking at this carafe of Soylent
beige substance.
Well, yeah, when you think about food of the future, I mean, I remember the Jetsons and shows like that, or cartoons and shows about the future, where they would have a plate and they'd have a couple of pills on it. That
right.
would be your
yeah.
food.
Your little food pills.
Your food pills, and you go, ooh, a steak.
Right. <Yeah. laughs>
So this smells various tastes. Sorry.
No, go ahead. This looks like it's not a pill. It's not in pill form. So I think that, you know, it's by not being in pill form, it is. It's more close. Okay, Flicton is coming.
All right, we're gonna try it. Here we go. Listen. Gotta shake it up.
This is happening in our controlled booth that is not in the studio.
We're shaking Lee Hutchison right now, and that's what it sounds like, full of Soylent Green.
All right, here we go. Here's some for.
So we are. So this is good. The consistency of...
It's sort of like the consistency of pancake batter, but, it, I mean, you can put as much or as little water in
that's
it as you want.
Now fill Jay out.
Yeah, come on, Jay. You need a lot of...
All right. I'll take...
Now, of course, Flicton, because it's the holidays, because this is the holiday special, Flicton brought eggnog to the studio, which he didn't actually bring real eggnog. He brought coconut.
Coconut
milk.
Eggnog.
Coconut milk.
Coconut milk eggnog with no rum.
All right, so here we go. So we've all got our Soylent. I've written about this a lot. I've had it tons before, so I'm not going to...
This is
not a surprise. I know what it tastes like.
Okay.
But
have you had any yet?
No.
No. All right, so here we go. On three...
It smells kind of like...
Spoiler alert.
What does it smell
like? Chalk and soy and grain. It kind of smells like grain.
Is it best just to drink it?
No, you should smell it. You should, you know...
No,
chalk. I'm going with chalk and... Chalk and like a grain, some kind of a grain,
you know,
like that, wheat or something.
All right, go ahead, have some.
Ah, I've had worse.
Oh, that's not bad. Oh, that is bad.
If you don't taste it, it's not that
it's
bad.
The, well, the,
it tastes good.
The taste is not terrible. The taste is kind of sweet, kind of bready.
It's very chalky.
It's the grit.
It's real gritty.
It's the grit on the back end that
now,
gets you.
This gets, it actually gets less gritty. I made this like about 4 hours ago. I just mixed it up before I drove to the studio.
Oh, so this has not had the benefit of sitting all night.
If you soak it overnight, the powder sort of absorbs water and it gets a little less silty. But yeah, it really does kind of have that riverbed in the back of your mouth feel when you drink it.
So, it doesn't taste too bad though.
The taste is designed to be. They actually said they put
non-confrontational.
Yeah, they put a lot of effort into making it taste like. Not a lot, kind of making it into like a blank palette.
It's got like
so,
a little bit of a vanilla taste
in
it, maybe.
And if you want to dump, if you want to dump something else in
rum.
It, like rum, vodka, you know, whatever. No, but I mean, if you wanted to mix in some fruit or mix in some flavorings or mix in some peanut butter or mix in, you know, whatever, you could put that in there and it wouldn't taste, it wouldn't clash with the taste because there's just not much taste to clash with. So you can sort of customize it. Now the...
So what is the like grittiness?
The grittiness
or the,
is,
it kind of leaves a...
It's rice, it's rice, sorry, yeah, it is a little gritty. It's rice protein powder.
Because so it also kind of like leaves a coating.
It does, and that's the rice protein powder that they use to give some of the. So that's one of the protein components.
Does
they
it
have
form
there.
A protective wall between you and your appetite?
It's actually surprisingly filling. If you drink a lot of it, you know, if you drink like a mug of it, that's like a meal.
Does it imbue any special
full.
Powers?
Yes.
You said it's...
It gives you all kinds of special gas
now,
powers.
You said
no, that's not cool. Hold on.
We're prepared for a liftoff. That is, you said this carafe is what, 2,200 calories?
Yeah, this is one bag of Soylent. So this carafe, this Takaya pitcher, this comes with the order. They give it to you if you order like at least, I think actually they give it to you if you order at least a week's supply. So this is like the preferred official like serving container. So you dump one bag in there. Fill the rest up with water, shake it, and then it settles a little bit. Then you fill it up with water again, and then you're basically good to go. And this is one bag, which is one day's worth of food, worth of nutrition, and it's about 2,200 calories from a single bag. And the cost is relatively low. The per meal cost. Oh man, I have to
without
get,
actually
I have to get
saying
the calculator
numbers.
Out.
I don't think we can talk numbers.
Can we not talk? Okay, well, it's relatively low. It's cheaper to do this than to go buy a hamburger or whatever.
Are y'all going to drink more of that?
Inflicted, have some more?
Because I'll have some more.
You can knock yourself
Inflicted
out, man.
Inflicted, have some straight from the fire hose.
There you go.
Especially if you haven't
I'll
had
have a little bit more because, you know.
Do they make different? Do they make like a people flavor?
Flickman has been in an experimental mode, and this is probably better tasting than what he brought to the studio.
So did Flickman? Did you know this was going to happen? Now that Flickman is totally off microphone, did he come here with all these drinks, knowing that there was going to be more drink like
no,
this?
No.
This is all just kismet. This all just worked out.
I mean, he might have at least seen it mentioned peripherally that we are going to have Soylent tonight. Now,
yeah, we were emailing about
now,
it.
This is not a.
I forgot.
I think
this is like bonus.
Okay, so like if you were needing like okay, for example, I'm a little overweight, and my doctor says I should lose weight. The key to weight loss is to reduce the amount of caloric intake.
Eat less than exercise.
It does. I mean, you read all kinds of stuff about it, but it really does kind of come down to like less in equals.
So I'm looking at this carafe, and I could say okay, if I could stomach it for an extended period of time, I can mm-hmm. say there's 2,200 calories there.
And you don't have to drink the whole thing.
but my point is that, you know, maybe I know for that I, you know, my average caloric intake is 3,000 a day.
Right.
So I could say to this, I want to get down to maybe 1,500 or something. I could actually just, if I could stomach it, I could say this is how much food I'm going to have.
Yeah.
But
you,
no
mean,
variety,
you could work out your basal metabolic rate and do all the math and whatever and figure out what your intake's supposed to be. And you know, I'm not a doctor, and as with before embarking on any weight loss routine, make sure and consult your physician.
It would also tell you the best time to get pregnant.
But yeah, I mean if you wanted to, I mean it's not there's nothing in here that's like a lot of people have done this. They have nutrition, the Soylent people, the company that produces this is called Rosa Labs. And if you go to, I think the website is www.soylent.me. I believe that's right. If you just Google Soylent, you'll find it. They employ nutritionists. They have they've put this through a number of different tests. It's gone under FDA approval. All the ingredients are FDA approved. So this isn't like some stuff that some guy made in his basement and he's selling. This is a real company with a real manufacturing process that observes, you know, sterile manufacturing guidelines. It is a, I believe it's vegan. I'd have to go back and look. I think that, because they went through a number of formulations as they were making, and I think the shipping one is vegan, so it's, you know.
So is the...
Is there a halal version or a kosher version?
I believe it is kosher, but don't quote me on that, even though I'm on the radio. Check on the website, but I mean, I think it is.
It has to be kosher, it has to be blessed by
religion. Yeah, and I think they, I don't know, like, hold on, I could find out. Our internet's back, so I could actually go find out.
So S-O-Y-L-E-N-T.
This is cold.
I've always wanted to be on a food show.
This is cold. Is that how you when you?
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 It's better when it's better when it's chilled.
Okay.
I just take it out of the thing.
No. Did you ever try maybe like hot Soylent?
Hot Soylent.
Like in the morning.
No, I didn't. But you, I guess you could.
Could you make? Okay. Well, now I was gonna say. Could
okay.
You...
So they say here only the powder portion of it is Soylent or Soylent. Yes. Is kosher.
The rest is people.
The oil blend component is not kosher, so they don't have the star K symbol. Excuse me, but the so if you wanted to mix it up and drink it without the oil component, which has all the fats that you need, then yeah, it's kosher.
It's kind of peanut butter tasty.
It's what it tastes like to me still is like sort of sweet kind of bread dough.
Yeah.
It's got kind of a floury, bready flavor.
Now, where does it get its actual nutrients from? Is it made from grains and
yeah, they've got an ingredients oil? List. In fact, one of the neat things about the company is that the creators call this an open product. And what they mean by that is like Libra type open. You can go look up the ingredient list, buy ingredients in bulk off Amazon or from a health store or whatever, and mix exactly.
They actually give you the proportions.
They give you the proportions. You can do it yourself. You can modify it yourself and put in more of this, less
so
of that,
like a,
whatever.
Is it like a Creative Commons license sort of or something?
I'd have to go look.
It's open source food?
It's open source food.
That's cool, yeah.
Or if you don't want to deal with that, you can just pay them and they'll send it to you. You know, that's like the trade-off, right?
It's like a liquid caloric raspberry pie.
Kind of. and you could put more stuff in it if you want to alter the taste. But is it... So the ingredients list is online. The micro and macronutrient mix is correct for like the 80 percentile human. It's got 100% of USRDA for all of the basic vitamins and minerals you're supposed to have. This is all in the way. I'm not trying to shill for them. It's all on the site.
Well, it's open source too. So I mean, that's the cool thing is you really could just go rip this off and go do it. It's not like you're stealing like Toll House cookie recipes or like all the old cookie recipes that used to
right.
stick on the net. Like
the Neiman Marcus.
Neiman Marcus. That's
right,
what it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, yeah.
No, this is actually by design. It's made where people can hack on it. They can improve on it. They can copy it. They can do whatever they want to. With it, it's just kind of out there and it's open, which is kind of neat. You know, we're not trying to shill product. This is
maybe this is
like
more like
Linux.
Maybe kinda. This is more like the Arduino.
Yeah, well, oh, that would be good if you put raspberries and pie in there. I bet it would.
And I guarantee tomorrow, a lot of you will be wishing for the moisture you get in a Soylent when you cut into that turkey.
I wonder now if you could like deep fry a turkey in Soylent.
That's a disaster waiting to happen.
There are
like
people
to
who
YouTube.
Are there are people who are baking with it. If you go onto the official Soylent forums, there are people who are making like Soylent cookies and stuff with it, which is fascinating.
I think my family would kill me if I showed up with a thing of Soylent tomorrow at Thanksgiving.
Anyway, so we've
I
got
brought
this.
The dressing.
I brought the appetizers.
I got the main course. Let me pour you guys some appetizer. Of course, you say that around. Me and my friends.
Just
like,
slap
yeah,
a
pour
turkey
us some
sticker
appetizer.
On there, and you're fine.
Well, that's very interesting
it's a little
stuff.
Fun diversion.
Yeah. So, Merry Thanksgiving with Soylent.
All right. Well, it sounds like we got internet back, and I hear
we
Peter.
We do.
So that's,
yes.
That's a good thing. So, what next, ladies and gentlemen? It is 30 minutes into the show. We've got an hour and a half left of Technology Bites.
Phil, well, I would think one of the biggest things right now that everybody's looking forward to, as in forward in time to, not as in happy about it, but, you know, Christmas shopping is coming up. And I would think that, one of the things people are looking at, it sounds like a big thing this year is tablets, so we may want to talk about that. I would bet also there are a lot of people who are considering getting Chromebooks this year, and so we may want to talk about that.
Okay.
But I guess to kick it off, you know, on Black Friday is the start of the deals, but I think unlike other years, it sounds like a lot of the deals are going to continue, that it's not just the one day. If you're looking for iPads, just to do those because I've got a list, places like Best Buy and Target are giving gift cards when you buy like an iPad Mini 3, that's the new Retina little one. They'll give a $75 gift card or $75 off at Best Buy, I'm sorry, and then Target's giving a $100 gift card. So if you're already going to shop there, you could benefit from, you know, the overlap. You know, you'll actually save the money. Obviously, if you don't shop there, then it doesn't help. But, you know, both the iPad Mini 3 and the iPad Air at Target, they have a $100 gift card, so that's a pretty good savings off it. And it sounds like Best Buy is doing $75 off all sizes on most things. Staples is doing $100 off all iPad Airs. So, you know, if you go online and search some of these things, you can find them. The you know, if you think the iPad market is confusing, though, the thing I feel sorry for is anybody who's trying to go find an Android tablet, because looking at those, the price range goes from like $10. Some of them are being given away for free, and then of course they go up to the same prices as iPads. Has anybody got? Are there any? I haven't seen any good reviews where you could recommend to somebody to buy a like $100 Android tablet for anything other than their kids.
Well, I think the cheap Android tablets are like those entry level Android phones I see people getting. They kind of skimp and get the free Android device that comes with it. And we had one that showed up at a geek gathering. Like, we couldn't even figure out how to use it.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the phone or device manufacturers, they kind of prey upon people by throwing that Android thing on there. Whereas Apple, at least they get to control their product. They say, okay, minimum hardware is this. You know, they have older stuff out there. You can still find old iPhone 4Ss and old iPhone 4s. But, you know, there's no Apple bottom of the line, super cheap, just barely scraping by on the hardware it's on, phones being sold out there like there is with Android. So, I mean, that's the thing. If you're buying, you know, a $99 piece of hardware and there aren't any rebates or any, you know, special contracts involved with it, you're probably getting a $99 piece of hardware if you're lucky, and it's not going to behave like one might think. It's not going to behave like a $400 piece of Android
right
hardware.
I mean, if you buy an iPhone, if you buy a modern day, even like, you know,
they all work the same
last
on the
generation
side, yeah.
They're all kind of the same, and they're going to have the power they need, and it's going to be a uniform experience for everyone. Same with the iPad. But when you get into Android tablets and you get into Android phones, I love a good high-end Android phone. It works really great. But if you buy a cheap Android phone, the experience
you're getting a cheap
Android
phone.
Like the days of, you know, like when, I guess maybe heyday of like Windows 95 and 98, when you would have to go buy Windows machines, and there'd be all kinds of configurations. You know, you could get something really cheap. You know, you could even now go get an e-machine that, you know, or a refurbished e-machine that might not do very well. You can go buy a top of the end, you know, very big, large name brand. It's kind of the same with Android. You know, you've got that same kind of variety out there in the marketplace.
Yeah, I mean, which is good, and a lot of people say that that's good to have those kind of choices. But as a consumer, you have to be aware of what you're getting into. And I think it's really unfortunate if people come into the smartphone or the tablet experience kind of on the low end, if they don't know what to expect. And I know a lot of people are probably out shopping, thinking, what Peter mentioned, I think, is valid. I mean, if you're looking to get something for a young child, then perhaps a cheaper tablet might be a worthwhile option.
Yeah, so if they break, you can just kind of walk away from it to where it's not that big of a deal.
Right. I mean, you don't want to put a $600 tablet into the hands of an 8-year-old necessarily.
Or even me, yeah.
Or even Barrett. Speaking of which, you said you squished your phone.
Oh, that was a joke. So the new, I guess. Where user interface design is going these days, not by choice, because I'm a product of the 90s like Drop Shadows, is that the new iOS and the new Android Lollipop, Android 6, they flattened the user interface.
Android 5.
Are we just on 5? Yeah, 4 or 5. My bad, 5 Lollipop. I'm so far. Yeah,
five
I'm
thinking. Lollipop?
Yeah, yes. 5 Lollipop. So we didn't know what it was. It's going to be an L dessert for a while. It's kind of speculation. Even when I was down on the Google campus, no one was really talking about it. So, yes, so what they've done is they have made everything uber flat. Like the icons are flat. It's like a trip kind of like back into Windows 3.11.
And cartoony-ish kind
of. Cartoony-ish.
Because it's
Windows,
all like brighter colors.
Yeah, brighter colors. So more primary colors, brighter colors. Like look at the Google Map icon and stuff. And then what's happening is iOS is following suit with this too. They're kind of flattening out their UI.
Yeah, they have been.
And even like, you know, we do we don't do web design where I work, but we farm out a lot of work to web designers, and the work coming back lately to us, all the design work has been very flat. It's like, whoa, this is, you know, and I don't like the where things have to look like everything's popping out of the page, but I think maybe the pendulum's swinging a little bit too far back to the flat side. So we'll see, but they've redesigned just about everything. I think a lot of that was in aid of the larger tablets coming out and just, you know, trying to get at least on the Android side, getting it looking kind of the same on all kinds of devices. But, you know, I've got a Nexus 5. I don't have anything larger with the newest version of Android on there yet, so I can't say how it looks on other devices yet.
Have any of y'all played with either the Mozilla, the Firefox OS for phones? Selfish? What about Selfish?
Yeah, my Android guy did. We had, this is Ron Amadio, the Ars Technica Android guy. We did. We forced him to get a hold of a $35 Firefox phone. It was sold primarily in developing markets and used that Firefox OS.
There was an orange phone I brought in. Yeah.
This one.
They
was,
were pretty low. Low power.
You mean Foxfire?
Yeah, no. Foxfire. Yeah, it was pretty terrible.
What about Selfish? Is it Jolla? Jolla. They have
Holla.
They actually just had I can't remember. It was on Kickstarter or Indiegogo. They just had a campaign for a tablet, and they did so well that they discounted the price on their phone. But that interface looks different and supposed to behave differently. Have you played with it?
I have not. Oh,
okay.
No. I'll probably be seeing it at CES and. A month and a half. Oh my God, that's in a month and a half. I'll probably be seeing it then, yeah. But I haven't messed with it. I have not seen it.
Not that we're recommending to buy any of the alternate like phone OSs, but what are the rundown? Like, what else is out there that's, you know, not iOS, that's not Android?
Blackberry.
So we've got Windows phones.
BlackBerry.
BlackBerry's still out there. Yeah. Are they still kicking?
They're evidently offering a whole bunch of money if you trade in an iPhone
or
something.
They will give you just a boatload of money up to $400 if you trade in an iPhone and buy a BlackBerry Passport, which is their square. It's like, remember the episode of The Office where they had the triangle tablet? BlackBerry Passport is sort of like that, except it's a square instead of a triangle, and that's like their thing. But I mean, there are people love BlackBerry. People that still use them are totally all about
very
them.
Dedicated.
And
to
Amazon
them.
Has their own phone out, so there's an Amazon
the Fire Phone, which I mean it's Android, but
it's Android,
those actually just got massively discounted. They dropped them down.
Fire sale on
they
the Fire
not
Phone.
Sell well.
not a single tech publication on the planet made that joke. You know? No, I kid. They all did. they're down to the Fire Phone is super cheap. It's been cut like 70% off of what it debuted at.
And you get it unlocked. Although after attempting to sell it, I didn't see any place that said, "Yeah, now it's a deal." Most of them said, "Yeah, even with this, they have not cut it enough."
Well, if they cut it another 50% off where it is, because it comes with Amazon Prime. And if they chopped it just a little more, then it would suddenly become a great value proposition.
So that you're saying essentially if you were paying $15 for the phone and full price for Amazon Prime,
it
would be worth it.
Then it would be totally worth it.
If they gave it to you free with
Amazon
Prime.
Yeah, that's what I would.
So is it just like low quality hardware?
No, this one is actually not too bad. I think its main gimmick was it had kind of a 3D look into it, whereas you rotated it would change the perspective of what you were looking at. Like, I got my hands on a couple of them. So it was higher end hardware than like the Firefox. Oh, no, so Lee, what was that actually called? Because I bought one. It was like a little bit more, about twice as much as your guy paid for it, but it was still super cheap hardware.
ZTE
like 50, 60
or
bucks.
Something?
Yeah, ZTE made mine, Chinese company.
Yeah.
And it was the Firefox OS.
I'll tell you, the one that we tested was...
And they were selling for like $70 or $90.
Yeah.
The one that we tested was the Intex Cloud FX, which you can't buy in the U.S. It's an India market phone.
Mine, I mean, the OS might have been nice, but the hardware was so slow, it was just really painful to do anything.
And
the touchscreen was so small, it was like, I felt like my hands were giant, and it was a long month.
All right, I'm not sure if I came to the studio with pre-existing stomach condition or not. But for some reason, I'm feeling a little something going on
really?
In my stomach. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's... Huh. If
well,
it's,
you only had like these months.
Yeah, I drank a lot more than you. I'm still okay right now.
I'm not
now.
Saying that, you know, it's that the it's bad. I might be having a unique and personal reaction to it.
We're going to make sure you've got a clear path to the door.
Well, it made me think of, are you familiar, going back to the, getting off the tablet and phone discussion, back to the Soylent, Boy, that does have kind of a bit of an odor, doesn't it? Are you familiar with Roka Labs and the Roka Labs thing that's going on right now?
Roka Lab? No, what are they?
Roka Labs makes this product, which is this kind of pink goo that you drink. It's kind of like an alternative to gastro bypass surgery.
Oh, the wow. Meat stuff?
Huh?
Is it the fake meat?
It's,
or no?
It's like this.
It's an alternative to gastric. So it's like you drink it and it sews up your stomach for you?
it's like a plastic that sticks to your
guts? It's like
guts?
A plastic that's it's like spackle for your gut.
What could possibly go wrong?
Well, you know...
Teflon intestines?
Well, interestingly enough, and that's one of the things that kind of near and dear to my heart is, you know, since we're on a free speech radio and everything... Customers of Roka Labs who do business with them and buy their product are, you know, they're forbidden from writing any bad reviews about the product. And so, you know.
Okay.
So there's a website.
Come
that,
on, man.
There's a website, and I can't remember the name of the website, but there's a website that's a consumer reviews website, and some people that are... use their product, put some negative reviews on there.
Yeah.
They did a story about it. So now Roka Labs is suing that website and the people who came out.
For saying, what are they? They violated a contract.
They violated a contract. Okay. I mean, obviously, yeah. It doesn't have to actually have legal standing or...
No, it doesn't have to have any kind of standing. They can just fire off the lawsuit.
Right. Yeah. So that's what's going... But that's... Your soylent product kind of maybe thinks.
So ever so slight detour, and you're a traveler too. Tell me how this strikes you. Did you hear about there was a UK couple that was traveling around? They stayed at a bed and breakfast. They left a bad review on not Travelocity, but you know some traveling site. And then a couple weeks later, found a €100 charge on the credit card. Called said, "Hey, what's this deal?" And there was a clause. Apparently, the guy didn't look at it or didn't read everything. But there's a clause that said, "Hey, if you leave a negative review for us on social media anywhere, or you know, like a review site, it's $100 per negative review, and we're going to charge it to your credit card." But it was one of those things where he signed it and he didn't read it ever. He didn't read the entire thing, but he still, you know, came in at night, signed the thing, and left a bad review.
Lovely.
Do you read everything before you sign
I
into
don't.
A place?
And there's another product that did that too, where they tried to come back and charge people's credit cards, and I can't remember which one of the was, but you read about these crazy lawsuits on Popat's website, popat.com. Ken White, who's an attorney, pays attention to people that sue on, you know, people for trying to stifle speech and so forth. But anyway, so there's that. And, yeah, so this Roka Labs, it looks delicious.
I can't find their product. I'm just finding pictures of meat
whenever I search. R-O-C-A.
Yeah. R-O-C-A.
R-O-C-A-L-A-B-S.
You find a lot of clothing?
It's rokalabs.com, and the strong, natural, non-surgical medical alternatives, Roka Labs. R-O-C-A-L-A-B-S.com.
It's got a picture of, a giant paint bucket pouring into a stomach.
it looks like the stuff that I keep the extra chlorine tabs in my for my pool in.
Jeez.
Is their medical consultant Dr. Nick? Hi everybody.
Hey everybody. All right, well somebody has called into the show.
It looks like they'd like to talk about Firefox
OS.
Could
talk about Firefox OS. Or Firefox, the web browser, or the fact that their add-ons or plugins won't load.
All I see is Firefox O.
So I'm playing the role of Groove House tonight.
You're playing the role of Groove House? Yes, you get to, who do we have?
We've got Tanny. You're on the air.
Tanny,
how's it going, everybody?
Good. What can we do for you tonight?
Hey, I just wanted to share that, I love this discussion on the technology and how it can help us, but something about the Firefox OS release, I think, is pretty astounding, is that the language support is what Mozilla focused on there, and it supports over 40 languages, all the way to Swahili, so... while that OS and the phones that they make are pretty crappy, it's just great that they're going to be able to allow that much more access to this technology worldwide.
And you're seeing it in a lot of developing markets where the problem is, the problem that we found with the one that we reviewed and what I hear from a lot of other outlets and from other people who are messing with it is that you get this confluence of developing markets and needing to keep costs down so that the developing markets can afford, so people can buy the phones. And so...
Mm-hmm.
manufacturers typically have to compromise. Like with the one that we reviewed, which was just about the cheapest phone you could buy, the cheapest smartphone you can get, it had 128 megs of RAM in it, which when coupled with the operating system really crippled the device because it kept having to swap internally. And it was bad enough to where, I mean, you'd be trying to type on the keyboard and characters would appear 2 and 3 seconds after your finger hit the screen. That's an extreme example. Of course, they're not all going to be like that. But, I mean, the probably what you'll see is because of that, excuse me, I've got Soylent in my throat still, because of that advanced language support like you're talking about and the fact you see it a lot in the developing markets, a lot of times it's just going to, by nature, be on lower performing devices.
Well, yeah, even, I haven't looked at the numbers lately, but a couple of years ago people were giving Nokia, and this might be a little bit too late, but they were giving Nokia a hard time about not really having a solid smartphone. And they're like, look, you know, 90% of the world is still buying candy bar phones. Like, you know, 10%, it's the U.S., it's a little bit of Europe. The majority of the world is not. They don't have the infrastructure for it. They can't afford it. They don't want it.
Exactly. And as much as I don't want to turn Somalians on to Candy Crush, I'm just glad that they're able to now, you know, access the same market as we are.
There you go.
You guys have a good day.
Hey, all thanks so much, Danny.
Swahili.
Yeah, it does. I mean, that's one of the first things I did when you power on the phone is, you know, you do it and they don't stack. I don't remember them stacking, like, English up there towards the top. And even if you choose English, they've got U.S. English, they've got British English, they've got... I wanted to say some other kind of English in some island that I've never heard of before programmed in there.
Did you guys see? I want to change gears just a little bit here because I wrote about this earlier today, and this is going to be very near and dear to a bunch of Houston technologists' hearts. Former Hewlett-Packard CEO Carly Fiorina is exploring a 2016 GOP presidential bid. She, after Carly had her failed Senate bid, she ran for the U.S. Senate in California against Barbara Boxer in 2010, and now is apparently going to try to stand on the shoulders of her previous political experience and play up the fact that she, at least at this point, would be the only female GOP candidate with her hat in the ring, assuming she, you know, is able to reach the stage where she's up for nomination, and also that she is, at least so far, the only former CEO who would be going for the GOP presidential bid.
Yeah, her slogan is, she can do for America what she did for Hewlett-Packard.
Yeah,
we'll lose half our volume in 5 years.
When I wrote this up, my upper deck I put on the story was America to merge with Canada.
Probably the compact one in that whole deal.
Yeah, you know, I live in Houston. I was born in Houston. I think the HP compact merger was a terrible mistake.
Well, there was a lot of bad blood in there, and I was courted by both companies back when I was coming to college. And actually, compact was reeling from a bad merger with Digital still, and you still had very distinct columns of Digital employees. And very distinct columns of Compaq employees. And when they brought in the HP people, they let the business units run as they were. And there was infighting even several years after. Mm-hmm. You know, where people, this made people's work lives very not
the people
fun,
who
you know?
Stayed after they laid off almost 20,000 people as a direct result of the merger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyone who is up for that, you could possibly be seeing Carly Fiorina as our 2016 GOP presidential candidate.
Attention, current and future Houston CEOs, please, if you merge with another company, just hang on to our namesakes. We've lost Continental. We've lost, you know, for the most part, we've lost the Compaq name.
Don't even get me on the. I don't want.
You know, I would like to hang on to something.
Please.
The dome is hanging on. The Astrodome is hanging on.
That's
thread.
Why they cling too tight.
Well, that's not good, though. It's like a zombie.
Oh, now we got to keep the dome. I keep old distributions around, and I'm keeping the
dome. We've still got
around.
The Summit.
There we go.
And
well,
Enron
kinda,
Field.
Kind of.
And Reliant Stadium.
Transco Tower, the Enron building.
We don't have Astroworld.
UH Robertson Stadium, I guess, is still that.
No Astroworld.
No, if you keep the name, it deteriorates. Astroworld's just completely gone. If they would have renamed
it's Astros Field now.
If they'd renamed it to something else, they would have been fine.
We could talk about...
Ooh. Oh.
Go ahead. I already did my Carly.
Are you
topic.
Feeling the Soylent, man?
Soylent's kicking in. No, I saw. We should. This is a whole other kind of show topic, but something that was kind of cool. I saw Bruce Schneier. I caught part of his talk that was rebroadcast from ShmooCon.
Is it Schneier or Shine?
It's Schneier. It's I can spell it. I don't know if I can.
In
it's,
my
it's
head,
S-C-H-N-E-I-E-R.
I always see it as
Schneier. So
okay.
It's Schneier, I believe, Bruce. So he was doing a talk, and so he was getting into a lot of the Snowden docs and going through, more or less, he was trying to find all the cool code words that were, like, contained in these documents and kind of cross-reference them and try and match them up to different things. And, you know, the cool things were, and this isn't so cool, but some of the cool things that he found were there are, for instance, there's a system. Well, let's back up. So there is a database, a very large database, that contains the SSIDs or the, I guess, the serial numbers on people's phones, mm-hmm. and check-ins with where they are on certain towers, okay? So, like, where they are. So you can, you know, go get a database, and, you know, if your phone talks to this tower, at this time, it's in the database.
Is it called
so it seems fairly innocuous.
Is it called something cool?
It is, and I can't remember. There was, like, something like that was called, like, Barrett Cannon. Was
Black,
one of the code
Black
names.
Dog Viper.
There were some
something.
Super cool names that we should do. You know, I'll do a Barrett time on just the names. But one of them was like Ferret Cannon, which was a packet injection tool to get packets into some of the undersea cables going across the UK. So this is cool. So here's one of the programs that he found. There's a program that goes and it looks for cell phones, like multiple cell phones, converging towards a single location, and then it looks for that they all turn off, and then an hour or two later, they all turn on and go opposite directions.
So this
go
is
back
like
where, to, what does that detect, do you
it's
think?
It's to detect like the criminal group that heads toward a meeting place.
Secret meetings,
turns
yeah.
their phones off yeah. to avoid being detected, and then...
So this is the problem with big data. It's like you can track one person, it doesn't mean that much, but when you start to get large data sets, you can look for patterns, and these patterns start to hop out. So one of the things they can tell, and they've got a program to do, is look for people having secret meetings, whether it's two or three people or whether it's a group of people. And then the other cool thing that I thought was kind of neat was... and this was, you know, goes in line with why I was playing around with Firefox phones and phones to DEF CON. Our burner phones is they can actually, I just gave the trivia away, but what they can do is they can actually look and they'll see, you know, usually when some of you see it on TV, someone will get a new phone, they'll throw the old burner phone in the trash, they'll stomp on it, turn on the new phone. So what they do is over time, they'll see, okay, when does this phone turn on and this phone turn off, this phone turn on, this phone turn off. They look for patterns, and they can assign these people meta phone numbers, and it doesn't matter if they have all these different burner phones. They look at the patterns of numbers called, where they are, what towers, and when they were turned on and off, and now a burner phone doesn't really mean anything. They can track those. And we didn't really know they could track that. People thought they were quasi-safe with that kind of, you know, behavior, and you're not. So that's kind of some of this cool stuff we talked about. The code names were the neat stuff.
They would have had that technology when they were making the show with The Wire.
The Wire.
That would have been
The season 3 would have been shorter.
Oh, and that's the very last thing he also mentioned. There's, and you guys might have heard about this in the news. Was it called Stinger? Is the thing. And so there's some stuff at DEF CON. It's pretty trivial to put up like a fake base station transceiver, like a fake cell phone tower.
Stingrays.
So what police have been doing to try and find criminals, and this is, I think, like 7 or 8 different police departments around the U.S. have been doing it, is they will run around with a fake access point. They will get that phone to connect to it, and then they can very easily tell exactly where that person is. They'll either do it with cars, or they could possibly do it with drones, they could do it with helicopters. But the issue is they're not just getting the criminals' phones to reassociate with the Stingray device. They're getting everyone in the area's phones to do it. So it's like going to Vegas, going to DEF CON, but, you know, from the comfort of your own home. Or mall, or wherever you happen to be.
I'm reasonably certain Houston was one of the cities.
I want
to
say they are.
Yes, it was.
And the thing is, there were a lot of agreements that were put in place between the vendors and the police departments, and even the FBI, that they don't talk about how this stuff works.
Yeah,
even to the point where there was a court case or two where they could have won. The DA could have totally sealed up this court case had they divulged how the technology worked, and they decided to lose the case, throw it out, let the criminal go because they didn't want to tell
how they got the
information.
Yeah, yep. Houston is HPD is one of the police departments using the cell phone spoofing Stingray technology. So
I was kind of I've been paying attention to stuff.
That?
I've been scanning stuff, and there's just been some odd things. Not all that often, but every once in a while, and there were some odd things when I was tracking with the ACAR stuff. I would see police helicopters, and I'd be like, okay, now this is odd. Police helicopter and some odd tower behavior.
Well, I mean, the concern isn't that these are being used to locate and track and to track criminals and close cases and serve warrants. That's not the concern. The concern is that the nature of these kinds of devices, because they impersonate cell phone towers, the concern is that they operate, there's no way to operate them in a targeted fashion. You can use them in a semi-targeted fashion, but once they're on, I'm still got Soylent in my throat. once they're on, any nearby cell phone that detects the Stingray signal,
yeah, anything
will
in range
to
will associate
with
it.
Yeah,
yeah,
it'll associate with it. It'll lock its IMEI in, and it'll attempt to you know use it as a cell tower because that's how cellular technology works.
So here's the difference. Like, so when we build that stuff at HackerCons, or if I build that and take it outside of a Faraday cage, you know, to where the public can see that, that's very illegal.
Yes.
That is illegal. Like, that the FCC, that's go to jail illegal.
Yes.
But yet, it's cool for them to do it?
Explain that to me. One can only assume that the legalities are legal. You know, I don't know. I don't know the specifics. I don't know what statutes this operates under, and I don't know why it's legal, but
those who make the laws don't have to obey the laws.
And this is one of the, now that we've just totally spun from food into, like, know your rights, this is one of the dangers with, you know, having just a few large cable providers, like going from the day and age, you know, when Jay Lee was working at an ISP where there were a handful of ISPs, you had choices.
Back in my days,
yeah. So you had to dial in uphill both ways, and it was ugly. But if the NSA wanted to get into things, they had to go and they had to commute or coerce or cooperate with a number of different companies out there. Now if they want to do it, it's just, you know, two or three companies. They get AT&T, they get Comcast, they get Verizon, they get T-Mobile, and they're good to go. The work's got
easier.
They don't
even have to do that, right? They just have to embed their stuff in the
router. Put the stuff in the router.
Set up a couple of Tor routers.
There are lots of different ways.
Well, I'm sure that there are people out there listening right now that enjoy us injecting additional paranoia into their online experience.
More paranoia.
What about e-cig viruses?
Ooh.
Now I just saw that too. So I don't think it's fair to say that that's e-cig virus. It takes advantage of the bad USB, right? It's bad USB. So
it could be both. Yeah. It could be so that the whole idea is that it's become very dangerous to plug any USB device into your computer. So I think here's how I would do this. If I had an e-cigarette that had like a dangerous little computer in there instead of just a charging thing, I would come up and find another e-cigarette user and go like, hey man, you know, this is like the new can I bum a smoke thing, I'm assuming. Like, hey, my e-cig is dead. Can I bum a little bit of charge off your laptop or off your whatever? He's like, sure, man. And then boop, and then you're in. And that's what these I've got in my hand, two USBs. Like one is from an official Bauer, you know, U of H School of Business USB stick that was given.
Uh-huh.
And the other one just has a sticker to let me know, hey, don't put this in here. One is a USB storage device, and the other one is a USB storage device with a mini computer on here. So when you plug it in, it takes over the keyboard. It takes over
the Hack 5?
It's Hack 5.
Yeah.
Can I see?
Yeah.
Can we plug it in and take over Jay's laptop real quick?
Right now, it's programmed to take over Windows machines or do Windows stuff. But plug it, do this. Pull open a terminal or pull open Notepad and plug it in and see what happens.
We'll go to commercial and then
yeah.
We'll come back with Jay's laptop's pwned.
All computers treat it as a hardware interface device.
So the deal is,
and so
humans trust computers and computers trust humans. Humans use keyboards, therefore computers trust keyboards. That looks like a keyboard, so boom, you're in.
All right, well, the sound of that music tells us that the holiday special is now halfway over. We must take a short break to tend to some station business. So we'll tend to that station business, and we'll be back with the second half of our Extrava Bonanza. I think we should play the intro again.
Yes, twice.
Totes, yes.
Yes, totes, yes. All right, well, I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Lee.
He's Lee.
Jumping in there.
All right, we'll be back after these messages.
Know you can find KPFT on the social networking sites Twitter and Facebook? You certainly can, and we'd love you to add us as a friend and get us connected with friends of yours. Join our fan page and check out a special video message from General Manager Dwayne Bradley, as well as keep up with KPFT programmers and staff. Visit facebook.com/KPFT Houston to join us. To follow us, visit twitter.com/KPFT. With both, you can link up with other KPFT listeners, get the latest news about the station, and find lots of extras. It's fun, so catch up with KPFT online. Again, on Twitter, visit twitter.com/KPFT. On Facebook, visit us at facebook.com/KPFT Houston. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston.
The KPFT Community Advisory Board is requesting your participation in a listener survey. The KPFT Community Advisory Board, also known as the CAB, is a vehicle for effective community input to the station's governing body about station programming, community service, and impact on the community from the station's major policy decisions. Community Advisory Boards assist stations in developing programs and policies that address the specific needs of the communities that they try to serve. KPFT listeners are welcomed and encouraged to participate in the completion of this survey. If you're a member of KPFT, you will receive an email with a hyperlink for completing this short form. Please visit the KPFT website at kpft.org and complete the Community Needs Survey. Thank you for your help, and thanks for listening to KPFT Houston.
You're listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Technology Bites Thanksgiving Holiday Geektacular with your host, Jay Lee and Peter Hughes. On tonight's show, avoiding holiday photos with Flicted, cool geek events with Barrett, make it a Soylent Thanksgiving with Lee Hutchinson from Ars Technica, and not appearing on tonight's show, Groovehouse, Dean Martin, Steve Jobs, MC Frontalot, Neil deGrasse Tyson, and many more. And now, here's the crew who are going to stuff this turkey for the next 2 hours. Take it away, guys.
I like that live edit there. One.
Seriously, why is there a monkey on mine?
Why is there a monkey on
these?
Because you bring an element of wildness to the show that we lack.
Element of monkeys to the show?
Hijinks.
Hijinks.
Well, I'd already used the laugh track and the kids. The kids
laugh track
hearing,
is awesome.
So.
You only had so many freebie noises. Noise folder.
I think there could be a very Pavlovian monkey response now every time you say Lee's name. All right, well, welcome to the second half of the show. We're going to barrel through another hour of Technology Bites. If you want to chime in on any of the discussions we've had or you have an interesting discussion of your own, certainly call in at 713-526-5738. Maybe tell us what you got on tap for the holidays. Now, I noticed, and I'm sure everyone else has noticed, that stories of people camping out for Black Friday. People are already camping out.
I don't think you should do that. That's silly. Don't go
all right,
up for Thanksgiving.
Next topic. Yeah.
So what happened with the rubber ducky?
Oh, the rubber ducky, it didn't work because I have a Mac.
It wanted to identify the keyboard, so it was looking for drivers for a Windows keyboard. Mm. It's geared for Windows, but the idea is that you put it
I think
in
it's geared for whatever you set it up for, right?
Yeah,
it I actually watched a
all right,
thing
let's
from
change
Hack 5 on
back
it.
Back away from Black Friday, we'll go to the rubber ducky. We'll talk about that.
Sorry.
Like, that's okay. No, so Barrett has this device.
So it's basically, I mean, from me watching it, I don't have one, but from me watching it, basically, they said is the idea for when they created it was they kind of had this thought like, if you have physical access to a box, then you can do
you
almost
it,
anything
yeah.
if you have enough time. And so the question was, what if you just had like a few seconds on a box? Like how much could you get done if you could type faster than humanly possible? And it became, hey, what if we created a device that's basically allowed you to use a scripting language to store things you type into a keyboard so that it's stored. And then when you put it in, the device would recognize it as a keyboard and then accept whatever it typed, which of course it would type as fast as it could spit it out. And so they worked on the design, and they had an earlier design. I forgot it was called the Teeny or something, the Teensy
no,
or something.
So the Teensy is an Atmel chip that I think Adafruit built.
Okay, well, they based it off of that.
Yeah.
But then they designed their own, and it actually uses a micro SD card. So you can actually write to this micro SD card, and you can have different micro SD cards, or you can have multiple rubber duckies or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he said the first price point when they first built them was like $80 for the very first one, which I think was on a black PCB. And then they've gone through four revisions. So they had a black one, then they had a white one, then a red one. I don't remember, those two maybe flipped, and then a green one. Was the video I watched was the green one, and it come down from $80 to $40.
Yeah, they're even cheaper than that now. So there could even be Black Friday
deals
for that.
All right, well, so it sounded like it was just basically it's the same. And he actually, on this video, he hooked it up to an Android phone and actually hacked an Android phone to inject something into it using a keyboard. And the deal is there's a big community around it, and they have a website where you can go and download. And they've actually scripted a lot of them, so they've got the base script, but there's always, you know, stuff you have to enter, like the IP you want it to go to download a file or URL or whatever. And so they have a lot of stuff now where you just go to the site and you just say, oh, I want to do this kind of thing. Here's the two fields I need to enter. Hit, type them in, hit enter, and then it gives you the actual rubber ducky script. You copy it, you paste it, you put it on SD, you put it in the rubber ducky, it's ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea, I guess, is that, like, exactly like Flick said, but hardware's gotten so cheap and so small that instead of just having, like, you know, it would look like a normal USB stick.
That's what I want to mention is that this thing...
It looks like a small USB stick.
It looks like...
It's actually in the housing.
And you could actually... And it's such a common form factor.
It's the ones that have the...
The little metal...
The metal swivel piece.
Swivel piece that might have the logo of the company mm-hmm. that you might get it from. So somebody might have one that's theirs, and you could actually switch the one part.
Yeah, just one part and do it. Throw them out and go to a conference and, you know, put them in dishes of swag or stuff like that.
Somebody wants to see what's on it.
Yeah, but the idea is it's just really tiny computers. They've taken, like, your USB stick, and it's gotten cheap, put a really small computer in there, and because USB can support, you know, 254 devices or what have you, it will load up, you know, a USB drive like you expect
sees
to
it
see.
The computer sees it as a keyboard.
Yeah.
But it
sees
it
as a couple different things, because it acts as a hub, so it can load up whatever device it wants, and that's the whole idea here behind the USB. So one of the things that, and you could, with the Teensy, you can fake it into anything, or the Leonardo, you could say, like, hey, I want to be a mouse, I want to be a keyboard, I want to be... Really, anything that could come over USB, you can fake being that device from another device. So, yeah, they went low power. So, really, what you've got is you've got a full programmable computer, and they do the scripting language where you can type in and load up your own payloads or other people's payloads. Or you can actually load your own firmware to the chip and have it do other stuff, too, which is kind of cool.
So you're saying if you exploit an old enough computer that the exploit could actually improve the performance of the machine?
There probably are machines where you could plug in a faster chip into the USB port than is inside the computer these days.
Sweet. That's neat. Let's go do that. Let's go find one.
Old computers.
Go find an old enough computer and give that a shot.
Although, when did USB support first come in? Was that Windows 95 Rev B?
95 Second Edition, I think, was when USB support first entered.
I think it was...
Or is it C?
I
think it was B with a patch and then C default?
It was B. I think it was B, like, if you patched it in and then C. OSR 2C was when it was in by default, I think. Man, that's... I don't know. Right. When did you first start receiving calls on Technology Bytes about people having issues with USB support?
Well, I guess the plug-and-play stuff.
2007.
So it's been around. It's been around for a while. So USB has been around arguably longer than Black Friday. To bring us back around, or has it?
Well,
when did Black Friday?
I don't know
when
the term Black Friday
started. I've camped out
for
Black Friday
once.
I didn't know. I didn't honestly camp out.
I camped out for Kiss concert tickets in 1975.
I went to a big box store when I was in college, hearing that there are really good deals, not knowing anything about it's going to be super uber crowded. You shouldn't go do this. To go to, I think it was the store you worked at back in the day, to go get like a Sega Dreamcast for $20 and a keyboard for, you know, just a whole lot of ridiculous stuff. But the line to check out was like 3 or 4 hours, and it was an ordeal. And I was like, never, ever again will I spend a day off doing that. So that's why I like Cyber Monday, which is kind of the answer to Black Friday.
Right. Well, I don't know when the whole – I guess probably for the Black Fridays when they started getting really nuts would have probably – God, I can't even think. I'm thinking like it really kind of formed up around technology mostly, right?
Yeah.
Like TVs.
Yeah, when you started
laptops.
Having a high – well, I guess maybe what it was high-ticket items that you could – discount quite a bit, and then people would go crazy over. The first time I went to Brazil, I went right before Christmas.
DVD
I was down
players.
There.
I remember that.
And I was down there, and we were talking about, like, you know, what's Christmas like back there? And, you know, I was getting along with these Brazilians, and everything was cool. And the next thing they show is like a Santa Claus parachuting into a parking lot and getting and people getting trampled at a Walmart and all these scenes of chaos unleashing
Welcome
on
to
Black
America.
Friday. And I was like, oh, that's usually that didn't happen last year. This is new. I haven't seen that before. I'm sorry, guys. America's not really like that.
I was supposed to be
like
there.
That. Yeah, that's when people were getting, you know,
my
killed.
My bargains!
Yeah. They might have been killed, but someone was definitely hurt at, you know, a Walmart somewhere.
There's a whole...
There was silliness.
There's a whole lineup and camp out and be the first and get there early kind of mentality that or culture that seems to have sprung up because you have people that will camp out for the new iPhone.
Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Movies.
Well, that's different, though.
I'm in line for the new Star Wars movie right now. Actually, in line at this moment. No, I'm not really.
The internet says circa 2005 for when Black Friday became the biggest shopping day of the year. It was probably around before that, but that's when it became.
Well, I just know that since its inception, it has become now. Stores are open on Thanksgiving.
They kept starting earlier and earlier until now. They're actually opening the day before,
like at 6 p.m. So, like you can wake up, you can get your turkey on, you can watch the game, watch the parade, and then. Instead of like eating turkey for dinner, you can then just load the car up and go to Walmart or wherever. I guess Walmart isn't one of them that's open on Thanksgiving Day, but you can go to, you know, Macy's or something and get your Black Friday crowd fighting evening shopping on.
So here, I was actually wrong. Black Friday is way older than USB. It goes back to 1961 in Philadelphia is when they started using it around. So they were... There were a number of ads.
That explains why everybody's fighting for stuff.
Philadelphia.
Because it came from Philadelphia.
It was part of the culture. It was an accounting joke. It was versus, you know, in the red versus in the black. So it was that last little bit of a sale to try and get the stores in the black. Black Friday. There you go.
Right. Well, I stay at home. I don't go outside.
Yeah, well, that was kind of the knee-jerk reaction to all that was, you know, all the geeks and all the cyber people that didn't want to go out and actually deal with all that, they would just go shopping when they got back into work on Monday instead of actually working, which they probably should have been doing.
Now it's Cyber Monday!
Yeah, and then that came around.
And then a lot of people were really disappointed when they learned what Cyber Monday actually meant.
Can you make my voice echo when I say that? Do you have, like, a reverb button?
No.
Cyber Monday.
Well, see, the way Flickton and I first thought of it was probably more of a Barry White kind of
thing. Yeah, that's what I was on.
Oh, right.
Because, I had on my pajamas. Because... I was ready to go. And I was like, what? They're just sales. This isn't what?
Boy, they're...
Not what I thought.
All right. For those at home trying to understand what they're talking about, the term cyber.
It's like when you're inside the computer, right?
It's what you used to do before sexting was a thing.
Sex on the internet was just blatant, and let's just change texting to sexting. Sexuality on the internet was alluded to. So if you wanted to, like, engage in some kind of tawdry behavior online, they called it cybering.
Well, it kind of probably goes back to
cyber sex, is
right.
Yeah, it probably goes back to, I would assume, maybe like AOL, like early days of America Online, but I would even say that before that IRC. Quite possibly.
It was kind of like the clubs in the 70s, except online.
Yeah, they would do like they would do checks like A/
way lamer.
ASL,
which is like age, sex,
age,
location.
Sex, location.
So
where you would leave your PGP keys in a basket.
That was also another disappointment. I went to a PGP key exchange party, and it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. It was a key signing party, not what I thought.
So when you heard the term Cyber Monday, you thought,
I'm just joking around. But in the back of my mind, I was like, they really should have done research before they named that
I
day.
Still, who's every they? Time I hear...
Whoever, who's the naming body?
The press?
Every time I hear Cyber Monday, that's actually what I think
well,
of.
Well, cyber is a prefix. You see it in two places. You see it for Cyber Monday, and you see it when, like, you're like hearing about, like, the U.S. government's cyber warfare,
well,
the Pentagon's
cyberpunk
cyber
is what
whatever.
I think.
And it's just such a. It's like if you're saying the word cyber, you're either working for the military or you're living in like 1993, having just read a William Gibson novel. And
that's
it's like,
I am right.
Cyber
now,
is everywhere. Nobody says it anymore. It's such an antiquated, outdated term. It's as bad as information superhighway. It's one of those words that used to be high tech, but. It's just now totally lost its high techiness and it's forever mired in the 90s.
Or like token ring.
the one token ring.
Now 16's decent. Actually, they had 100 bit token ring when I left at the receiver end. It was like 4 and 16. And then
4 and 16 was IBM's microchannel architecture stuff.
Wasn't there a faster one? Or maybe the UPS had.
Well, I think ATM was ATM. Token ring.
Nerds.
Sorry.
But they moved on past that.
So are we supposed to be talking about Black Friday? I totally took us off that. I was trying to steer us back.
You and Flicka have done a great job of taking it where you want to, and I appreciate you guys stepping up.
Yeah, someone would say ASL, and if you're a 40-year-old guy, you would type, hey, I'm
18,
and yeah,
email.
He knows how to do it.
Cali.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah. If you want to talk about, like, you know.
There are no single young ladies
the
on the
slang,
internet.
The slang of the internet and the slang of being online. I mean, my wife, who's about, you know, my age, she got an email and somebody put LOL in there. And she's like, I don't know if I know this woman well enough. You know, for her to be giving me lots of love. You know, that's the way you would sign a letter, you know, it'd be lots of love or XOXO, but lots of LOL. It's like, so like, you know, the cat did something ridiculous, LOL.
See, I had problems the first time. So the first time I ever saw this acronym, I'm not a gamer. Really, at all. Yeah. I'm not an online gamer. So the first time I ever saw this one particular one, so I am a part of like biker car tattoo culture and stuff, somewhat. Like, I'm interested in, I know stuff about it. So so there was a Dell ad for one of their like XPS performance gaming machines,
right?
You know, and it was like a picture of the computer, and then I forgot what it said up at top. It said something like, you know, Dell's new, whatever. And in big letters said FTW. And I was just like, wow, Dell has really done an edgy campaign. But and then I found out later, in gamer culture, stands for the win.
For the win.
Yeah, not for F the world.
Like, someone does this, for the win. Yeah.
I was really impressed with Dell for a while there.
They're bringing Linux back. All right.
I could have had a Dell. You're getting a Dell.
Yeah, that's totally at odds with the straight-laced Michael Dell-style Dell that I know. The straight-laced Dell that I know, you would be not only fired but shot for saying that.
So you turned that off and fired up NWA and your FTP client?
Yes.
All right, 713-526-5738 if you want to join in the conversation here on Technology Bites in our Thanksgiving Extrava Bonanza show. 713-526-KPFT. The phone lines are open. We're continuing to talk on and on about stuff here on the Technology Bites program. So tomorrow is, I was asking earlier, like an hour or so ago, about doing anything high-tech or interesting for the Turkey Day holiday, and of course that took us to Soylent, but I am looking forward to my new tradition, which is deep frying a turkey.
You know, should start with a frozen turkey, is what I hear. That's
yeah, I've heard you
and
should.
And drop
should
it in just, as fast as possible.
And make sure
it builds
oil up all the way up, and make sure you do it kind of in the middle of your drive.
And make sure you have a camera.
Captured on video.
Yeah, definitely video.
No, we've done this for the last couple of Thanksgivings. Now we go to some friend's house for Thanksgiving.
Did you die?
Obviously, I'm scalded.
It's got to be a different friend's house every year, though. It's just a kind of... They're running shy on friends.
Who doesn't know yet? We'll go to their house.
If Jay Lee is not even to your house for Thanksgiving, turn your radio off for the next 2 or 3 minutes. We'll be right back
with
you.
That's not fair. No, first of all, there's an incredible safety jump by the fact that I am not the one actually frying the turkey. So you get that much cushion. It's not Jay, so there's
so if anyone dies, you're gonna be okay.
Well, no, but
probably
just the fact that I'm not doing it gives your chances of survival a boost.
Well, who is doing it?
My friend Brock does this, and he's a very good cook. He owns his own restaurant, and he knows exactly what he's doing.
He's qualified.
So, you know, we spend. It is kind of an interesting process because, you know, typical cooking, like, you know, getting in the kitchen and putting on the aprons and stuffing a turkey and sticking it in the oven, you know, it's kind of this long, drawn-out experience. It's not dangerous enough. There's not a lot of satisfaction in that. But when we do it with Brock, he gets two turkeys out, and they're completely thawed. So you've got, like, this big, plucked, headless, dead bird.
Carcass.
And we're using these syringes to injection baste it. putting a, you know, flavor.
Get the flavor in there.
Get the flavor in there and inject it into this thing and get it all going and then pat it down with whatever rub or seasoning and stuff. And he's got this special.
You treat it right. You buy it dinner.
Yeah, he gets this device, this hook thing, and he put that through the turkey, and he just it puts on the big gloves and drops it into the thing, and then like 20 minutes later, you're ready to eat. And so it's like this whole like condensed process, which, you know, I think appeals to high tech, you know, people into technology. You want to have it happen. You know,
no one wants to have to wake up at 5 a.m., especially if you're already in tech and have to wake up at 5 a.m. anyway.
And it really mans up the process, because nobody's going to like stand around drinking beers around a roasting turkey in the oven.
No, but the alternative, and what I'm also as a man quite happy to have a situation where you can sleep in most of the morning, and then you wake up to the smell of that turkey cooking in the oven. Now that's
awesome. I'm all about if you can make someone else do all of that. I think that's brilliant.
I hope your wife's listening.
She's been texting me this entire time. But we're going over to my parents, and my mother is probably this exact moment already slaving away. And we're just going to show up at about noon and just eat. And it's going to be great. And like then we're going to go home.
Like a
so
rampaging.
You're getting off the Soylent for tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
No, she listened to the show and she's pouring turkey gravy mix into Soylent right now.
Soylent turkey. Oh,
Soylent gravy.
It'll just be Soylent with some hard-boiled eggs.
Oh.
I heard you on your radio show and you liked Soylent so much, I made it special.
Thanks, Mommy.
It's going to be a Soylent night. Oh, we're going to bring this back for the Christmas edition, for the holiday winter edition.
Well, there's not going to be an actual Christmas
edition. Oh, that's
edition.
Right. We're off. We get the night off. Hey, we've got a phone call.
We have a phone call. There's
about
a person.
Soylent. All right.
All right. I don't know how Groovehouse would do the voice, but you do a cool voice. I need to see something like Faisal. You're on Technology Bites.
Hey, how you guys doing? This is Faisal.
Hi, Faisal.
What
can
we
do for you?
Great, great. So, I heard you guys mention Soylent just a few minutes ago, and I've tried Soylent out. I've been on it for several months, actually a DIY version. So, if y'all had any questions for a semi long time user of it, you can go ahead and ask, or I could just offer my experiences.
I don't know if you caught the first half of the show, but but Lee Hutchins from Ars Technica actually did quite a big write-up about the whole Soylent experience.
But,
oh, yeah?
You did it for a week.
I did it for a week. But, I mean, I'm not an exclusive Soylent user. I have a bunch still. I've been drinking it on and off, the official stuff. Yeah.
So I've got a question. So Jay Lee had a sip and within 10 or 15 minutes was kind of complaining of, you know, like some iffy feelings.
Issues, yeah.
So were there any – did you notice any bodily changes or any major – surprises, or like what did your body do over the course of 6 weeks? Like, there's a movie Super Size. We know what happens if you just eat nothing but McDonald's for
right,
a month.
Right.
What happens on the Soylent side?
Soylent me.
So I've had Soylent exclusively for, you know, several months on end.
Wow.
Exclusively, I mean about 90%. So like on the weekends, I'll have a meal or two with, you know, with my family to enjoy the social aspects of food. But more or less, pretty much everything else was Soylent for several months. And what I noticed was. So apart from, let's say, bowel movement, it's...
You still have them, right?
I can talk about that, too, if y'all want. apart from the bathroom issue, which is actually a very positive aspect of it, it's as if I had great food every single day. Like, not great food as in very tasty food, obviously, but it's
healthy.
As if I had a very healthy food every day. And that's how I felt. And, you know, I actually had a DIY version called People Chow 3.01. There's a DIY community linked off of the official Soylent webpage. I think it's like discourse.soylent.com or something like that. And actually, it's a bunch of, I guess, computer science geeks must have made the website, because sort of like GitHub, where you can have recipes, you can fork them, you can update them, it has revision control. It's really, you can geek out on food hacking there.
So
Faisal, this is a pretty popular recipe.
What did you do with yours that's different from the official Soylent? So you said you're on the the People Chow version 3 sort of DIY format?
3.01, which is called, Tortilla Perfection or something.
Without having to get too detailed into, like, you know, micro, macro, ingredient, blah, blah, whatever, like, what's the main difference between what you've got and, like, the stuff that people could go buy if they were so inclined?
All right. So, I mean, well, you sort of have to talk about the micro, macro because, well, if you look at it on the outset, so what's the difference? Well, number one, Soylent comes prepackaged, right? Number two, so for People Chow, you actually have to buy stuff off of Amazon and sort of mix it yourself. However, I do 5 days at a time, and I invest 15 minutes worth of time for 5 days worth of meals. So, you know, for some people, that time is pretty valuable, but for me, it's not. So 15 minutes or 5 days of meals is pretty worth it. Plus, you can order everything off of Amazon, and it comes to about $4 a day, which is less than half of what Soylent costs. Yeah. The official Soylent. Also, the official Soylent is not easy to get your hands on. So that's one difference. Then, aside from that, with the DIY version, you can sort of tailor it to your own dietary needs. So if you need, you know, depending on your lifestyle or your dietary requirements, you need to sort of adjust the percentages of your macros, your protein, and your carbs and whatnot. You can very easily do that.
So, I mean, it sounds like you're kind of on board here.
Another substantive difference is really the type of real carbohydrates that the official Soylent uses versus what People Chow uses. I think the official Soylent uses a mixture of maltodextrin and oat flour.
Yeah, that sounds right.
They started off with pure oat flour, and then people had flatulence problems, so they mixed it up with maltodextrin. The reason why you like oat flour is because it's a very slow form of carbohydrate and it has a low glycemic index. So it doesn't give you that sugar rush. You know, People Chow uses corn flour, masa harina.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the debate is out there on the forums. You know, people are discussing what's the glycemic index of masa. And, as it turns out, it should be high, but it's actually not when people have measured it. So, those are, I would say, the main differences.
Is it
sort of
a yellow or white masa, or does it matter?
It's really down to the texture and the taste. So, you know, masa harina, I sort of like the tortilla flavor, you know, corn tortilla flavor. So for me, it was great. You know, some people like to flavor their Soylent. I'm really against flavoring Soylent because, by having Soylent, it's obviously a very monotonous type of food. You're having the same thing all the time. And in my experience and the experience of others that I know, your body it's very difficult to condition your body to have flavored food all the time. If you have some intense flavors or even, you know, some reasonable amount of flavor, you will constantly be searching for other flavors, and it almost defeats the purpose of Soylent. I mean, you want to remove for at least some parts of your life while you're at work or whatever, however people choose to use it, you don't want to think about food. You just
all right,
want
so,
nutrition.
So you have actually, like, altered your eating experience.
Oh, completely. I've changed my relationship with food, and it's actually a very pleasant change. Now, I mean, I still have food, but it's on my own terms. It's when I want food. Like, I just made some baby back ribs over the weekend. I did some sous vide, you know, T-bone steaks and stuff. But now I have food because I want to socialize with people, or because, man, I really want to make something awesome. And it's not because I have to have food, because I won't survive without it.
All right. Well, thanks for your call. I appreciate that information. Have a good night.
Thanks, Fun.
All right, sure.
Yeah,
thanks,
Fun. Very cool.
I don't know if I could do that.
Well, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people who on the official forums who that this whole thing about changing your relationship with food, you know, some people, especially people with eating disorders or people who have a toxic relationship with food, this kind of thing is a not just Soylent specifically as a product, but the idea of this whole DIY, you know, bland kind of, you know, open, you know, liquid food type stuff. It's something that people can look to, and a lot of people on the official forums do, and you can read these posts to, like, trying to, like, have to save them from their relationship with food. People who have legitimate issues controlling what they eat and can't.
Well, that's what I was
with.
Talking about. Like, if you look at this carafe of Soylent and you say, okay, I'm going to dedicate myself to controlling my caloric intake and not, like, you know, just graze and meander through my eating experience, whether it's binge eating or anything like that, I'm going to say, I know that I have to consume this amount of nutrients in a day, and I can look at this thing, and I can even probably mark it and say,
yeah,
three meals
right
here. And I'll I could portion that out any way I wanted over the course of the day, but I know that I was controlling my caloric intake. If I could enjoy that,
mm-hmm.
and it was not like, you know, if for me, the main thing is not feeling hungry.
Yeah.
I don't want to feel like I'm more hungry than I should be for the amount of food that I've taken in. And I don't know if this has an appetite suppressant quality to it, because there's not a lot of variety.
The maltodextrin and the oat stuff, all of the bulk in it. Yeah. I mean, it fills you up.
I think they're looking at things, especially like the guys who are trying to take this further. They're looking at, you know, specifically like what grains make you feel full, things elicit this, you know, like what's a natural MSG kind of thing is what they're after. I didn't know you could actually fork it and spoon it.
Yeah, you totally can.
DIY.soylent.me,
I think, is the site. Yeah, you can totally. Now, the thing that the biggest objection that you hear to this stuff specifically, is people asking, like, well, this is a meal replacement product, but like, what about Ensure? What about there's other enteral nutrition products that have been around for years and years and years that purport to do the same thing. There's the medical blends of Nestle makes, I forget what their brand is, but Nestle makes tube feeding food that you can buy if you wanted to, medical grade, you know, tube nutrition stuff. There's, you know, Carnation Instant Breakfast on the consumer side. There's Ensure. I think I already said Ensure. and the thing that these guys say sets Soylent apart is the cost. So if you go and buy bulk medical nutrition products, it's going to cost a lot more because you are not a medical institution with the ability to purchase at the same rates that they do. And if you compare it to like a consumer thing, like Ensure, there's a lot less sugar, and the amount of calories you get is less. For an equal amount of calories, there's way less sugar in Soylent than there would be in a comparable caloric amount of Ensure. So way lower amount, like this says some, I don't think there's any, I don't know what the sugar content in this thing is. I know it uses,
high fructose?
No, it doesn't use HFCS. It uses an artificial sweetener.
Splenda.
That I'm blanking on for the, to give a little bit of sweet. No, it's not stevia. It's not Breaking Bad style stevia. Anyway, but it does not have like the bulk amount of sugar that Ensure does. Anyway, I don't know. We've talked about Soylent for most of the program. We should probably talk about something else.
I like the DIY side of this. I'm going to go mix up some Swelf later on. You can name these. You can like name your own thing. Swelf is one of them. That's what I think.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different ones.
So on the flip side, I'll go full days where I don't get a meal until, you know, 8 p.m., 7 p.m., 6 p.m., just because, you know, and I know there are other people in IT like that. You know, if you wake up, you're doing instant response. You've got servers that are down. You don't actually have time to go eat. So this is why this is looking kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a neat idea. And a lot of people just react immediately with disgust. And they're like, oh, my God, it's so gross. It's this beige liquid, ew. Or it's going to, you know, destroy food and bring about the end of human culture and make us all into separate sludge-drinking people hide in our cubes all day long.
It's like the food version of gray ooze.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, all things in moderation, right? I mean, it's if you want to lock yourself in your cube and drink Soylent through a straw all day long and be antisocial, then this will enable that.
It tasted okay. It wasn't too bad.
It's not bad, you know? It's neat. I use it like when we will occasionally do, like when Apple does their earnings calls or anytime that we're stuck at the computer doing like a live blog where I cannot get up and leave.
Yeah.
I'll go pour like a big glass of this and I'll have that for like in the course of the hour that I'm doing that because I can't leave the keyboard. That's where I found it most useful.
How long does it keep?
So unmixed, it's good for, I think they say about 2 years. Once you mix it up in the pitcher, you got to drink it in about 2 days because it'll start to curdle because it's got that oil in it. Mm. But yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. I like it. It's got a reaction provoking name. It's called Soylent, and I mean every time I write about it, there's always like 20 people being all like Soylent Green is people. And
I like that the other version was called People Chow. That's also
That was the Futurama reference.
Now with flavor.
Yes.
Well, no. Actually, the People Chow joke was when I worked. My first job ever was with Jack in the Box. And back in the 70s, Jack in the Box was owned by the Ralston Purina Company.
I did not know that.
And they got in trouble for using kangaroo meat.
On the Super Taco bag was the little Purina logo.
So that was like the People Chow bag?
It was People Chow bag.
Did you ever make like the an ultimate like J burrito or like an ultimate J sandwich when no one was like we work in the late shift at Jack in the Box and make like a 6 foot high burger with...
No, we didn't have smartphones and other ways to like broadcast such a triumphant sticking it to the Jack in the Box man.
Make like an octo taco with like eight tacos.
You can take
taco.
A Polaroid of it.
Do you have a story you want to tell?
I never worked at Jack in the Box.
I don't think you are now. I think you just cut off that possible future career path.
I worked at Babbage's when I was in high school. I can tell you about all the crazy stuff we got up to at the software store.
No, that's actually which in a mall, I assume.
No, I worked at Babbage's number 9 Babbage's. In Webster. It was the only, I think it was the only one in Texas that was not in a mall. This
you
was
didn't,
the strip center across from Baybrook Mall.
And you didn't have to say ASL because they were standing right there in front of you.
They were.
Although you did anyway, but you didn't have to.
I would say, would you like...
I am the gatekeeper.
Would you like to put that on your credit card? That's what I would generally say, or... Something like that. Although I can't knock Babbage's, I met my wife there, and it's been a wonderful, happy relationship.
Was she working there, or was she coming in to pick up?
That's
Newsom City?
Such a long story. we hired her, and then we fell in love, and would like we would say that we had to work late, and then lock the store up, and then after it was closed, we'd make out in the back room because
you were not cyber.
We both lived at home and didn't really have anywhere else to go.
They would crush some of the. The product boxes.
Push the shrink wrap machine off on the table onto the floor. Yeah.
All right. So I know that you are going to go hang out with your in-laws.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I am going to nuke a turkey. What about you, Barrett? What are you going to do?
I'm going to go see my parents in Magnolia.
Some servers.
What is the ham radio signal for I'm going to go eat turkey? Is there a letter for that?
Yeah, QRT. Who knows? But yeah, I'm limited. I live in the city, so I don't have any huge trees. They're out in the country with tons of land and tons of trees. So I'm going to take some super long wire and make a long wire antenna and see if I can't hit another continent from out there. That's kind of the plan. They've got some trees that are, 50, 60,
technical.
70, 80 feet high. So we can do that. My hardest thing, I need
how
to find
get it up there?
Slingshot and a tennis ball with fishing twine, and then that's how I get it up. And then I just
then
run
just
the wire up
the
fishing
the
twine.
Of its life.
No, then you break the twine. It should just come back down.
Oh, okay.
It should, because you don't actually tie the wire to the tree. You've got to have some insulation. But yeah, like 20-pound test that'll be strong enough to hold up, 100 yards of wire. But, when it comes time to break it, you can just give it a yank and hopefully just... That breaks, the tree branch doesn't come down on me.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. We'll see.
Nice cast, Barrett. What about you, Flicted? What do you got planned?
I cast magic missile. I'm going to in-laws, evidently.
In-laws.
When you go there, do you ride your bike?
No.
No.
It would be like bears on wheels. Even though we're in the Montrose,
like
the Bernstein Bears on wheels.
Oh, I immediately thought exactly what you said. It's the only thing in my mind.
Welcome
exactly
to Cyber Monday.
And are you going to be sticking close to home, Pete, in San Antonio? You got the whole menagerie over there, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, we had our Thanksgiving last night because my oldest daughter and her husband both work on Thanksgiving. So we did that. So it's all out of the way.
Are they doing retail or are they doing IT?
One is a cop and one is a nurse.
Oh, they're medical and medical and I guess public
Leo,
protection.
Law enforcement.
Law enforcement. There we go.
Yes. So they both had to work for that. It just, it's just a trick of the calendar on his. He's got certain days off. And so if it's on a holiday, he's in. So
does he get like the triple time for working on Thanksgiving?
I think so. I think he does get some, there's some benefit to it.
Sweet. Very cool.
All right. Well, 713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air with us tonight, we are still taking phone calls and,
20 minutes or so, a little less.
Yeah. Are we still doing computer problems too? Or
we could do that. Certainly we could. If you have a question you want to ask us.
If your computer is literally on fire, Jay will help you.
Well, so what do people, while we're waiting for if there's going to be any calls, what do people think is going to be the hot technology gift this Christmas round?
Tickle me, Elmo. It's clearly going to be Tickle Me Elmo.
We got a call coming in, I believe. I don't know if you can see that.
Get that guy in the booth to do his job.
Yeah, he's got something that he's got supposed to be doing for us.
I kind of, now that I've had a console in forever, I kind of wanted a console. And I was, you know, like a gaming console. And I was looking around and people had said, hey, Assassin's Creed is really fun. But the Unity launch that came out, and I've seen bad software launches in the past. But do you hear about this anyone?
I don't use consoles.
There's some gamers, but more or less.
I'm a PC gamer.
I'm still kind of a PC gamer, but I like the idea of just, you know, being able to play online or not have to worry about, you know, like if I've broken my PC, because I've installed something I should have installed on it, or it's doing its own development thing or whatever, it'd be cool to go play a console. But the one I wanted, the game I wanted, apparently it's like almost unplayable. So this pattern of hey, let's just put out software and let's just. And I'm cool with that on PCs. Cause it's a little bit easier to update a PC game. But yeah, people are just publishers just putting out games, and that was just to buy time.
But Unity is no good.
Yeah, well, so it's not that it's no good. It's that it wouldn't really run.
that qualifies as no good.
Yeah, there were a ton of bugs.
They were just like, ship it. We can fix
it
later.
Actually, I think the people that put out the game had to create a website and a blog to specifically address at an hour-by-hour basis what they were doing to get the game back
on its feet
and running. Unity, Assassin's Creed Unity.
So it was the best Christmas software launch since The Lion King, huh?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I never buy that stuff like in a planned way. It's very whim, so I go out to read the review and everything says broken.
Have you played any of the Assassin's Creed games, though?
No, but I heard they're good.
They are very good.
I know about Assassin's Steed. Do you know about that?
No,
so apparently there's a whistle that you can blow like inside the game. And so the premise, I think, behind the game is you're supposed to be sneaky. You're supposed to be an assassin, very quiet. So here's the deal, man. You've got a whistle, right? You blow this whistle, the horse shows up. Where does the horse come from? I think he's a better assassin than you are. And that's the assassin steed. There's a t-shirt. It's a penny arcade thing. It's a meme.
Ah, I see. Okay.
But the idea is it's like if you gave a horse with a little diva.
Is there a first
person
perspective?
No, I think it's
an
out of body
one. It's out of body. You have the guy in front of you.
The last game I really played on a console was Skyrim, and that was kind of fun. You know, I like that. So
now Assassin's Creed is good, especially the one set in Italy, and you're climbing around. You're in Venice.
That's kind of what I want to get into the games again, because they look like they're immersive again. The graphics are compelling enough to where I'm like, okay, that actually looks really good. I finally got a large television on a format that I always dreamed of as a kid, being able to play on something that big. So I think, you know, I know I'm pushing up there in age, but it's never too late.
So going back to Pete's question, what's the hot item for Christmas besides Tickle Me Elmo?
I don't think there is one, is there? Or am I just out of the loop? I'm not the one to ask on this. I haven't seen news.
Well, just wondered if people had a guess. I mean, I wonder the Xbox One. I know they've had a lot of price cuts, and the PS4 are kind of neck and neck.
Were both of those around last holiday season? So neither one of those are new for this season, or are they?
I don't pay attention, but I haven't heard anything from other people about something being like really anticipated and really hot, like for Christmas as a gift.
I mean, it's probably tablets. In phones, I would think, if you had to like go by what people are getting the most of across the board.
Yeah.
And that's just a guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which it's kind of funny, because if you think about it, most of the time, especially if you're doing Apple tablets, the money you're dropping on the tablet is comparable to a pretty serious console plus games.
Yeah.
People seem to look at the decision differently when it's for a tablet than when it's for a console.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, definitely. It all depends upon what you want and your your perceived value and the value prop that it's going to build for you. So I don't know. I mean, I'm all tableted up. I'm good.
Do you think that technology, like high end technology, it's a hard thing to buy for someone else?
Oh, you mean like if you're buying it as a gift?
Yeah.
Technology's gotten really personal these days. I mean, it really does. You know, you don't really leave your devices behind. It's very much a personal choice. It's almost a statement. And it's gotten expensive to the point where I'm just not going to go around casually giving away tech. With the exception of me, I'll give away like an RTL SDR, like, you know, cheap little electronics from here and there. But that's geeky tech. That's not like, hey, here's a laptop. Here's a tablet.
Well, I know that I was on Facebook. A friend of mine was trying to compile a list of gifts for photographers. And you really, you know, I mean, aside from like lens cloths and memory cards,
yeah, everything, isn't everything specific?
I got you this Canon lens.
Yeah. Everything I want for my camera bag is all like $2,000 north.
Well, you know, but even so, like, you know, one of the things that, you know, like I shoot Sony, for example. I shoot Sony, and so I have an affinity for my brand. I don't have necessarily a superiority for my brand, but.
No, but you're in that system.
But I'm in that system. And one of the real popular gifts last year and the year before were these coffee mugs that look like lenses.
And I think that's been a popular gift forever and ever.
Well, I don't know about forever and ever, but that certainly kind of reached an apex here a couple of years ago. But the lenses are stylized after certain brands.
I know the Canon 24-105L is like the big coffee mug that you can get all over the place.
Right, and there's one for Nikon, or it doesn't actually have the Nikon brand, but it looks Nikon-ish. But you can really get yourself in trouble, like giving somebody, if they're a Canon shooter, if you give them a mug that looks like a Nikon lens.
they'll
what do I do with this crap?
Over the mug? Is that like giving someone like, hey, here, I know you're Canon, like, but here's a Texas mug.
Right, kind of thing. You drive a BMW and here's a Mercedes shirt or something like that. You know, it's like, there's a certain, like you mentioned, it's a personal thing with technology, but also like brand, like, even with, like, you know, if somebody's a Mac user or a PC.
Or like if I got you a VI shirt.
I would wear that ironically.
Yeah, but you can't tote around a $2,000 lens ironically easily.
Well, some people can, I guess. But I'm not one of those people.
But to that end, I you know, for what it's worth, and you can populate this any way you care to, but Amazon wish lists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go and populate your own Amazon wish list with technology ranging from, you know, your $2,000 to $5,000 if somebody's really rich and wants to do something really nice for me, all the way down to like accessories that you might need or something like that. And so you can point people towards your wish list, and then they can kind of shop for you based on a list of things that you've actually created. If you populate it with enough stuff, it's like they're going to a whole store.
I could always use more speed lights. You got any Canon speed lights you don't want anymore, Jay?
Come on into the Jay Lee Amazon wish list store and let's work out some trades. So now you're ready to do flash photography more?
No, I do a lot of product photography.
Oh, that's right.
And I can never have enough speed lights. Because I'll take, like, if I have a phone I'm reviewing or a computer I'm reviewing or really anything, I've got, like, a little, like, in my office, in my spare bedroom that is my office, I'll build, like, a little white box out of poster board, and then I'll set up two or three speed lights and have my master speed light, and I'll bounce it all off everything and try to get a solid, no shadow. But, I mean, more is always better. Like, you never have enough speed lights if you're trying to do any kind of product photography. You could always use more.
Is some light faster than other light? I wasn't aware of this.
In different mediums, like in vacuum, it's always the same speed. No, speed light is both the generic term and, depending on how you spell it, also the brand name of Canon.
And how fast the light turns on and off.
Okay, so it's how fast it. Okay, so how
the strobe? Short the strobe. Yeah. If it goes at 1/100th of a second, you know, or whatever. The faster it can flash and just illuminate, and then that allows for faster shutter speed.
Cool.
So you don't get
now. Thanks.
So your product pictures don't have red eye.
I can honestly say that they
don't. I close the doll's eyes first before I take pictures. That's too creepy.
Oh, has Ars Technica done a review on real dolls yet?
No. There was a presentation called Creepy Doll at DEF CON where guys were putting in all these tracker things and little dolls, little, you know, stuffed things, and putting them out there in the world. And
in real dolls?
Yeah. Well, not real dolls. That's a different kind of... I'm not prepared to go there. But yeah, this other thing is called Creepy Doll.
Jay brought it up. I was just
thinking about product photography where you could actually get a red eye problem.
You can do like pet photography, I guess.
Is it pet photography or is it just like, oh, Mittens is doing something cute? Yes.
What about Furbies?
I don't know. Do Furbies have reflective eyes or do they just have the plastic non-reflective eyes?
I don't know.
I don't have a Furby.
That's just a sad, sad story.
You can put that on your Christmas wish list. On
he doesn't have a Furby on him.
My wife's listening. She can put the Furby on the Amazon wish list. I don't actually want a Furby, sweetheart. Please.
You know he's just going to say that now. You know what he wants. Yes, he wants a Furby.
But secretly, deep down.
I kind of want a Furby. I don't want one Furby. I would want a small army of Furbies so I could make them do synchronizations. Then, you know.
You can get them talking to each other.
Yeah,
it's like
talking,
you get
them singing songs.
Like,
but you can get Chumbies.
Fights, you know? Yeah,
do
Chumbies.
Do they still make those?
No, they brought it back. But Chumbies don't move. Like, that's the, you know, they're not programmable little mini animatronics. Like, I think, you know, what Lee's talking about, that's a step way, rather a stepping stone to Rockafire Explosion territory. Which is someday what I hope to aspire to. That's where all this is going. But I can afford now as a Furby or two. So we'll start where we can.
That was when we were moving our office to the new location, we had to go and clean out the old server room that's been there for, you know, almost 15 years.
Did you find, like, the one deck server that had been on for since 1972?
Floppy drives.
Oddly enough, what we found in the server room, back behind some shelves, was a Furby.
You are invading its domain.
It had learned to talk. Human.
Speaking of which, somebody installed Linux on it.
My wife just texted me. She said, "Too late, Amazon one click."
Yes. Yay.
We've been Furbied.
You're going to bring it to the next, after the Christmas
show. Yeah, you have
show.
To bring it to the Geek Gathering.
I hope she's.
The Christmas show.
I really hope she's serious.
She's
joking.
I hope she's serious. I just, dare you!
Just put it down here and we'll have it say, "Hello, Jay."
Soylent. Soylent, give me Soylent. That's what we're going to use Technology Bites for going forward, is influencing marital decisions of the Hutchins family.
That's fine. Whatever.
Tell her to get me a lens. Tell her to get me more speed lights.
Yeah, I could.
So where is,
how is your phone going off the kid? This is not two-way radio, lady.
Maybe they make speed lights that are inside of a Furby body.
I would pay to see that. like a cameraman pulls his DSLR out and it's got a Furby sticking on top of it.
Well, you know, they have those covers that go on microphones, you know, the fuzzy covers.
Why don't we have those?
We do, kind of, but not the
why don't we have...
But you can put a Furby on there.
Why don't we...
The microphone that talks back.
I'd like to speak directly to the Furby, please.
Wouldn't it be, like, great if you're coming to the studio and these are all faces?
No, actually, that would be terrifying. Well, I guess it would depend upon what kind of face.
No clowns, please.
Scary
no
face.
Clowns.
Scary clown face.
Ooh, clown faces. Squirty clown faces.
No. No.
Like a flower.
Happy Cyber Monday. So which clock is right? Is this the station clock? Is that woefully behind by 4 or 5 minutes?
We've got 10 minutes.
We do. We
I went by that
minutes.
One.
We have 10 minutes. We actually have okay. 6 minutes because we have 4 minutes of outro.
Oh.
Do we have, we don't have an extra
special
outro, do
we?
Do we
have an extra special outro?
Do we have
outro?
An extra special outro? No.
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 We could play the intro backward.
He's thinking about it.
He's like, I bet I could do this.
That could have unexpected ramifications.
No, yeah, if you
we
do that, you'll
do that.
Summon the Dark Prince.
Sammy Davis Jr. may come back. Steve Jobs may come back.
Be terrible.
No, you'd have to use the Soylent the opposite direction.
Yeah.
JJ was already working on that.
Oh, it's no opposite. It's just a continuation.
True. With some expansion.
All right.
Some kind of expansion.
So, you know, so Thanksgiving's coming up. Are you going to overeat? Overeat.
I'm going to overeat and overeat pie.
Pie.
Lots of pie.
All right. Well, thanks. You know, I like the 4-day weekend. It's unfortunate that you can't really go shopping on Friday. Unless you want to deal with that.
Yeah, I forgot one year.
Did
like,
you?
Oh, accident. I didn't get very far, but I tried to go to the Galleria the Friday
oh.
after.
Oh, my
just,
God. Are you serious?
I scheduled I get my haircut over there every once
did
in a while.
Did you die?
I was like an hour and a half late to the thing. I mean, almost, you know, I left way in advance. I'm like, oh, I can't believe I did this. So, you know, I was in a motorcycle, which was nice. So I was able to get in.
So you were
and
able to
parking.
Die faster.
I had an HPD person or two wave their finger at me, but, you know, I had to get my haircut.
I've actually found the coolest place to park when I go to the Galleria now, which I probably shouldn't say on air because I'm going to get the
secret. You're going to go in there. There's, no one's going to be able
no,
to park
the best anymore. Place to park at the Galleria now. Well, you don't care. You're on a bike. You could yeah. just like leave it on the median or something. No, the best place to park at the Galleria is around the I forget what the color of the lot is, but it's by, so since they put the Tesla dealership in at the Galleria,
yes,
they've got like the little area in one of the lots. It's around the, all right, hold on, I'll find
it. It's around, you can get there, if there's a Neiman, I go into the Neiman Marcus thing and go all the way to the bottom and it puts you over there, but Lee's right, where they park the Teslas, and then you can pop up and you pop up on that.
Is it by
street.
The, is it by
listen
the
to the Galleria, this is doing you no good.
I think it's by the Nordstrom's.
I pretty much always go into the one
yeah,
by the
right
Macy's.
Yeah, it's by the Nordstrom's and the Macy's, so yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I've always
coming
gone
Westheimer,
into for years.
And then hang on to Sage and then on to West Alabama and go underneath that crosswalk. There's like a little bitty like ramp that you can just miss on your right if you're not looking for it, and that takes you down into the, it's like the blue lot or the red
yeah.
lot.
Yeah, and then coming back lots. Up is fun too because you get to go up this
yeah,
super 30
deadly.
Degrees straight
but
up.
But yeah, right down
thing.
There, there's you'll see the Tesla wall where it says Tesla, and they'll always have three or four little Tesla Model S's parked down there charging up. But that's like the coolest parking place.
Keep going down and down and down
yeah,
too.
Yeah, well, because you don't have to fight, because everybody turns in off of Westheimer or off of Post Oak and like gets into like the battle for those front lots by, you know, up by Lord and Taylor. But if you just go around the back, it's just so much easier.
I just don't shop on that day. I just send out links to free software.
I just don't
so Lee, you're getting, yeah, you're getting the Chrome browser.
Sweet.
J. Lee, LibreOffice for you.
I've heard it's awesome.
I thought you were giving everybody Emacs. USB drives.
No, those already arrived at your home in offices, yeah. That would be cool. We'll definitely bring that out to the next Geek Gathering, though.
Which will be a week from
toys.
Friday.
Yeah.
Bring your laptops. Get your laptops pwned by Barrett.
We're on air next week, right?
Yes.
We're not preempted for a couple more weeks till we get close to Christmas.
No, we're closer to Christmas. We're preempted.
Okay.
All right. We have a show the 3rd of December, the 10th, and the 17th.
Sounds
that's
legit.
Correct. And 17th is when I go to London, so y'all be kind of doing your own thing.
We won't have Daleks. But
What are you doing in London?
What am I doing in London? I'm going to.
Are you
going to
stay there?
I'm going to go see all the. I'm going to go.
Just day trip. There and back.
I'm going to meet Harry Potter and
Sweet.
Jeremy Clarkson.
You're going to
are you really?
Two mythical figures. That no. No, we're going to go.
The whole Jeremy Clarkson's mythical.
Yeah, that's kind of.
He is a legend in his own mind.
Well, I'm going to go to London for just to hang out for Christmas. Just to see what
do they do? So they do. Do they do Christmas in London in the
they
UK?
Do they
celebrate Christmas? Hold on.
What? they do Christmas.
It's
no,
like
they,
it's like Canadian New Year or something.
Yeah.
Well, I'm also I've got tickets if I can stay up and brave the crowds. I've got the first year they're doing tickets for the Mayor of London fireworks show on New Year's Eve.
Oh, cool.
Which is over the whole London Eye just explodes.
Do they do New Year's in England?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
What does the mayor have to do with it?
What does the mayor have to do with it?
Yeah.
The mayor of London?
Yes.
Is he a jolly old soul?
Do they put him on one of the fireworks?
No, all the city events in London are kind of presented by the mayor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because all my information I have about it is just Guy Fawkes, so...
Literally everything
it's
I know
cool.
about
Do you
it.
All know Eddie Izzard? Or Eddie Izzard, depending on...
We don't know him personally.
Oh, he's planning on running for... he wants to run for, I guess...
President of London.
I
yeah,
vote
mayor,
for him.
Mayor of London.
Can we
mayor
vote in that election?
Yeah, 2016.
Can we vote for that? Are
you
we
need
allowed?
To expatriate, but that sounds kind of worthwhile.
Like, you would change...
I would not, but, you know, if someone really wanted to go... If someone's really into Eddie Izzard, they may.
I'm not that into Eddie Izzard. A lot of people really, really like Eddie Izzard.
I'm sure he's a cool guy. He was cool on Hannibal. He did a guest run on Hannibal.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
season.
Yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah, he was in Houston.
Is that show coming
ago,
back or did it get canceled?
No, I think it's coming back. As far as I know, it's coming back. It better, so. Better be because my wife loves it, and if it get canceled, I'm never going
to
hear the end of it.
Hey, do you get more Furbies?
She doesn't get you a Furby. I'm getting
Furbies
you a Furby.
On parade.
Oh, my God. I hear music, guys.
Yeah, we're going to get out of here now. We really appreciate you tuning in to Technology Bites Thanksgiving Extrava Bonanza Spectacular Show, and hope you have a great holiday weekend. Enjoy unless you work in retail, I feel sorry for you. But if you do, if you work a normal job and you get 4-day weekend, more power to you. Hopefully you'll at least have a good Thanksgiving tomorrow. We'll be back next Wednesday night for more Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's
Lee.
Lee.
One, two, one, woo!
On Wednesday, December 3rd, make plans to see Ryan Adams at the Bayou Music Center in downtown Houston. Groundbreaking singer-songwriter Ryan Adams has been nominated for multiple Grammy Awards and has received critical acclaim both as a solo artist and with his band The Cardinals. Since his early days as a founding member of the band Whiskeytown to his current solo career, Ryan Adams has been a prolific songwriter, producing beloved albums such as Heartbreaker, Gold, Easy Tiger, and his most recent release, Ryan Adams. His music has been featured in a variety of films, and his extensive touring schedule has included appearances on The Tonight Show, Late Show with David Letterman, and Saturday Night Live. Don't miss Ryan Adams on December 3rd at the Bayou Music Center in downtown Houston. Visit BayouMusicCenter.com for details and tickets. Presented in part by KPFT Houston.
Sometimes we find comfort in having things and holding things in our lives, but now is a great time to think about the kind of comfort we might find in releasing things, letting them go. As the year ends, think about giving your car, truck, or RV to KPFT. Just call 855-573-8227. That's 855-573-8227. This is KPFT Houston, online at kpft.org.